Looking for your next go-to smoke shop? Stop scrolling, I've got you. Headshop.com is the number one online smoke shop, already trusted by over 100,000 happy smokers, just like you. They've got it all. Dab rigs, vaporizers, glass bongs, smoking pipes, even THCA flower, all in one place. Need a new daily driver? Grab a smooth glass bong or a classic smoking pipe. More of a concentrate fan? Their dab rigs, e-rigs, and wax accessories are designed for smoother, harder-hitting sessions. And yes, they've even got legal THC flower. Best part? Every order ships fast and discreet, which is why thousands of smokers keep coming back. So don't waste time hopping between shops. Shop the best in dab rigs, vaporizers, glass bongs, smoking pipes, and THCA flower right now at headshop.com, the number one online smoke shop. Headshop.com has what you need. Check it out today. Oh, and because you're listening right now, you get 10% off your next order when you use the coupon code HSHOP at checkout. Go to headshop.com now and smoke smarter.
Welcome to Straight to the Point, completely off topic. And today we have with us Joey Hamilton, winner of season 3, coach season 12, owner of Revolt Tattoos. The list goes on. What else do we have to add in that?
For myself, that's about it. I mean, I don't like to brag.
You'll let me do it for you?
No, I don't even like that, honestly. But you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's you know, that's one thing. It's like when people put you on the point, and you're like, I don't know how many conversations I've been in, and they're like, "Oh, this is one of the best in the world," and I just chuckle to myself, thinking like, "What the fuck is going on?" Like, I know where my place is at, and it's nowhere near that. But I just kind of.
You're living in a different fantasy world every once in a while too then, huh?
Yeah.
I think I get that. People tell me all the time, like, wow, you're great. And you're like, I fucking lost to Joey. And now Joey's saying that he's not even the best in the world. So who the fuck am I?
Right.
Dude, no, you got to be the best in the world. That's right. My take.
I got beat by the best. There you go. Well, you went back, though. You went back another time, so.
And got beat by the other best in the world. I get it. Yeah. I get it. You need to keep harping this in. Come on, man.
Yeah. And how you doing? I want to know how you're doing. I know you interview all of us all the time, but
how am I doing?
Yeah, I listened to a couple, and you know, I haven't got to go out on the tattoo scene.
Thanks for listening.
Oh, you're welcome, buddy. It's definitely
I'm going to ask you let me answer your question first, and then I already know a couple of things I want to hit about what's been keeping you busy. But what have I been doing? Chasing away depression. I don't know. Living life at both. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore, to be honest. but I'm doing a lot of these podcasts, and I'm meeting amazing. Like my life is turning into like some weird fantasy, like where you're talking with somebody and they start telling you you're the best in the world. Well, fucking hey, dude, you are living that reality for a minute, because it would probably be a lot cooler.
Right.
And, it's worked for me. I met Darren McCarty yesterday, so I'm happy. No, you may not, you know, if you're from Detroit, then you know, because he was hockey, you know.
Oh, nice. I just finished my hockey game just 10 minutes ago, and the Golden Knights pretty much got eliminated for this season, so it kind of sucks. But
what, you play yourself?
No. I follow the team, you know, our Vegas team, like religiously, you know.
I was wondering, you're kind of old for these beer leagues.
I tell you, you know me, I'm competitive, and I'm like, I've never played this sport. I used to play sports all the time. I'm like, should I get out there?
Have you tried?
I have not. I mean, I rollerbladed before, but I just
send me the video.
Toe pick.
There you go. Yeah. Look at that throwback. What's that? Yeah. That wasn't Blades of Glory.
I don't Candy even know. Knows. Some old hockey ice skating movie.
I've watched that probably 100 times because it's one of my wife's favorite. The Cutting Edge. That's how quick it comes. Hey, but no, I recently, my friend, my best friend in Florida, he's a hockey player. Of course, he lives in one of those crazy states where there's no ice, and he plays a game where he plays. And he's my age. He's older than me, actually. And I don't know how he does it. I went out there on the ice. We used to play when we were kids. And so I laced up, and I'm thinking this is going to be like, you know, riding a bike. I'll be behind everybody, I was sure. But I was just going in circles, the puck and everybody else moving around me. I don't think I made it off the blue line once, you know,
right.
Trying to chase the puck.
10 feet, you got to turn around the 10 feet and turn around.
That's all it was. It was like me just doing sprints or something slowly and poorly. There's so much of an art to keeping those blades moving quick. And I just ain't got it.
Yeah. I realized that probably about 10 seconds into me going, yeah, I want to get out there. And I get on there and be 10 seconds later, like, yeah, this is stupid. This is just funny little quick. I played basketball pretty much my whole life. And I went out, one of the kids at the shop was like, oh man, let's go out there. And he came up to my house and we played. And I
get serious.
I fell on my face. I've never got juked out of my shorts.
Oh,
I fell over, scraped my knees. I'm like, what a dumbass.
Yeah, we're getting old, huh? What about volleyball? You were also a champion at volleyball. Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, I tried out for the Air Force team back in the day. I didn't make the team, but I at least made it past the first couple of tryouts, which was, there's probably 50 guys walking on, and there's only three of us that made it that far. So I was proud of myself for that. I played probably competitive for maybe 10 years. But
so is that a sport that you're going to turn to now? Because you can go to the bar and get everybody drunk there.
I'm telling you, golf.
Oh, yes.
That's going to be it. Like just the easy, lackadaisical, you know, hit the ball 50 yards.
getting the caddy.
Yeah.
And drive back to it. But then, I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you're doing well. That's all I wanted to get.
Am I doing well? Yeah.
You know, it sounds like you are. I think you're staying motivated. You're doing this. You know what I mean? It's got to be cool to be talking to people from the show. You know, a lot of times we don't meet everybody from the show, and it's probably cool that you're getting to have
great
conversations with them, you know?
I'm actually having to learn more about the show at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of seasons I didn't really watch. They're painful. How many do you catch many of the seasons? You're on 12.
No, I still have always been a fan of the show.
Yeah.
Have I liked it as much? Probably not. But I still, especially if there's somebody that we know going back you know, I get more invested when I know somebody. You know, some seasons I'll just catch the last couple of ones, especially if I know I'm going to the finale. So I know who's who or type of thing, you know?
Oh, they're still inviting you, huh?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, yeah, the last couple of years they had it in Vegas. So
I'd be. Oh yeah. They have to invite you there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like right here.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they might be done with me. I think I yelled at them at one point. Who knows? I think they got soft hearts, you know, God bless them.
Now it is what it is. You know, they're nice to you when they want to be.
Yes. Yes, I have found that to be true. And they will get you to believe that they're nice to you, or they always have the best of intentions. Yeah. But you won. So that's not a conspiracy necessarily there that you're going to expose. Or do you feel that? Did they come to you in any way?
No.
Did they come to you and tell you you are going to win?
Right. Well, don't cut that and paste it where I said right. No.
Yes. Candy, you know what to do.
Yeah. No, you know, I have that same feeling. You know what I mean? Ours was so new. Like season three was still fresh. Mm-hmm. Like we didn't have that where we've seen 10 seasons, you know, whatever it is now. But, you know, you see certain things, you know, that I've always questioned, you know. And some of it is art based and some of it is gameplay based. And some of it is like, you know, you're wondering what's behind the scenes. You know, I've had conversations with other judges from other shows that were very similar. Mm-hmm. And all day they're like, yeah, they get told who's going to win. So
another show? Not Ink Master.
Not correct. Correct. On another show that was very similar.
Right.
The guy pretty much was point blank was like, oh yeah, no, I had to sit there and argue and yell. And you know what I mean? Like they're like, right. Yeah, that was way better and type stuff. So yeah.
Like the producers were pushing for one thing.
The producers on some shows, they have a ulterior motive and end game motive, you know? And you know, if you look at my season, like I don't even want to question it. Cause then I'm going to question me. You know what I mean?
I do because I mean, even though I didn't win, I come back and I wanted to imagine the whole time that America wanted me back, and that there was some skill and all this kind of stuff, and it wasn't just my attitude. But at the same time, you kind of begin to realize there is some game. Is it gamesmanship? There's control on the production side to make something interesting. And if you're collateral damage because your story isn't what you need it to be.
Looking at all of it, yes, there's definitely, you know, I don't know how many times that if somebody was talking shit about somebody, that person shows up in the room. So, you know, that's just TV. Like if you're sitting there arguing, if you're sitting there doing something, they
did that happen to you on the season three?
Well, not me personally, but I mean, like when Tattoo Baby and Josh were getting into it and he called her a bitch, and you know, I was in the room when they were like, "Hey, you guys go over there and talk," and you know what I mean? Like, so you see, they want to put people in uncomfortable situations, you know?
Yeah. When I had a problem with Jason Clay Dunn for a brief second, when I had a problem, they were quick to put us in a room together. But that little guy with his Porky Pig smile, I couldn't be mad at him.
I know, man. How can you be mad at that little leprechaun motherfucker?
I couldn't act it. I wanted to try and play it up for the camera because, you know, they were kind of being like, "Yeah, dude, can you? You're mad," and then you're like, "You're mad about it, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm pretty pissed about it, really, to be honest, man. They should done. Yeah. You should have done me better." Then he gave me that little smile. I was like, "She makes me my breakfast."
Right. I know. That's the only thing I could say is, you know, as I liked my experience on there because of the people. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like ours was as cutthroat as especially some of the other seasons. Like, you watch those other seasons and it's like.
Well, you have a knowledge of it too. Season 12 to season 3. What were some of the bigger differences?
Well, as soon as I saw I was going up against Ryan, I knew I was losing.
Is that Ryan Ashley?
1 million Twitter followers against my, 50,000. I wasn't winning that one.
Well, come on. Again. It is based on your talent.
Yeah. Well, I didn't tattoo, so it wasn't really.
Oh, but were you guys judges? Yes.
Yeah. Well, we were coaches. Yeah. And it's always funny to listen to them after the fact, because like even after with our challenge or art challenge to give the skulls out, Dave had made a comment like during the show, like, "Oh man, I think Joey's was better." And you're like, "You think at the time, yeah," but you voted the other way.
Right. Wait. He said that during the show.
Well, like on Twitter they did it a couple of times where I think Oliver and Dave was doing a live on Instagram when the show was going on, and it was Walter's season, and Walter killed the tattoo sausage. You know,
sausage. Yeah.
Sausage killed the tattoo, and they both were like, "Oh man, Walter, sausage killed that one." And then Oliver goes, "Oh yeah, Scott won." You know, so it's always funny. I mean, that's art. Art's subjective. You know what I mean? Like, I've always thought that. Like, I look at people's tattoos and some of the people that have won, and you're like, "How could that win?" But I've always been a realism based artist. So, like TJ Poole, like I gravitated towards that tattoo way more. But that's just my style. So. I have to respect the other styles, you know, now. And I see that more like, you know, every day I'm tattooing now in the shop, I'm tattooing next to a traditional guy, Jason Trenton. I mean, he pulls out some crazy stuff that's very traditional, and I wouldn't tattoo it, or maybe I'll wear one day, but you know what I mean? I never had that appreciation for it yet. So
I do. I feel like just going down to Cocoa Beach and hanging out with Mark Longenecker, I got a new appreciation for his style.
Yeah, completely different.
When you get down there, it made it all sense. Just like going to I say this the same, but if you go to New Orleans, there's like an art kind of style there. It doesn't really fit so many other places, you know?
Yeah.
If you brought it back home, well, it'd fit in Vegas, never mind. But yeah, that kind of art, that it's unique to almost a locale or something, you know? And traditional art, very similar.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, like I said, art is just, it's cool to see different styles go on that show and compete. That's the only thing I would hope would change it someday, is the judges would either expand or change
did it happen to you that tattoos took over so much of your life that you've lost other aspects? Like,
you know, it's the life right now is a grind for sure. You know, I'm still tattooing 6 days a week.
Good Lord.
Pretty much.
And you're running the shop.
Oh yeah. I got a really, really good GM in place that he's doing, like Raphael. You know, if you've met Raphael. So he's doing most of the grunt work for everything. And I'm just tattooing. I do go in there and give my 2 cents. And like, I'm definitely pushing the business in a certain way, but he does all the bill pays and, you know, all the mundane stuff that guy has to do. So, but he also
that's how far you're removed from it. He does the stuff that I don't want to. Yeah. You got him washing your car. Is that what you're saying?
No. My apprentice. No, <I'm
kidding. laughs> that's a different story. Yeah. Apprentices are supposed to wash cars. I know I've heard some apprentice complain about that very thing. And I was like, man, fuck you, kid.
Right.
I know. I'd wash his car and build his fence.
It's kind of crazy that I see both aspects of that, like the good and the bad of like why it is to break somebody down. But I look at it as I'm breaking them down to get ready for the most difficult part they've ever had in their life. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's how I look at it.
I just look at it like, I need a car wash, man. Quit complaining. Right. You're fucking on the low end of the totem pole. Right. Enjoy it. Well, or just put your best into it. Maybe one day you'll be able to boss some other kid around. Bastard.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't apprentice anybody anymore. When was the last apprentice you had?
I have one right now.
Oh, wow. You know, how's it going?
Well, I didn't really want to, you know.
I know.
It's kind of more out of necessity, you know.
For the shop or for what?
Yeah, with the shop being as big as it is, and we need to kind of home grow a couple guys to, like, run stores for us at some point or, you know, trust people in key spots type of thing. So
are you spreading out the franchise as well? Are you a part of that franchise as it spreads out?
Of Revolt?
Mm-hmm.
Oh no,
because Walter's up there in Utah, right?
He just came to me and says, hey, I want to move, and I'm like, where are you moving? He says Utah. I said, well, do you want to open a shop or not? And he kind of took a couple days. He says, yeah, let's look. And then we had a spot pretty quick. That's, you know, that's kind of crazy. Most of my shops have been like that, where they either call us or something like that happens. Like, I'm not out there progressively pursuing. You know, if I was, you know, there would be 10 more Revolts right now.
Right.
There could
but be, that also could been, weaken their pull, right? That so it might be a great strategy.
Yeah. Well, they ask us, the company we're dealing with asks us like once a month, hey, we got a mall in this town. Do you want to go? And I'm like, no, I don't. So, I mean, I don't want to be, I want to have a good, solid key players in place, you know, and then expand where we know we can trust the people. Cause that's the biggest thing in our business, you know, is there's tons of people.
Trust.
You can't turn your back and then it's 2 seconds later, they're just doing whatever they want to do.
They'll pull on a knife out.
Yeah.
I do know.
That's what I would say about, you know, you've done a guest spot in my shop.
It's awesome.
Most of the guys have been with us. There's still guys from day one, 7 years ago. Like, I've always prided myself in that I make it an easy environment to work in, and we just want to help each other out. You know, we're always growing as an artist and stuff. And just kind of, it's kind of fun. It's a fun environment. I'm not sitting there trying to be your boss. You know what I mean? It's not like, I don't like that. I want it to all work together type of scenario. So
it's a beautiful shop. I implore anybody
to get on. You've been to a new one though.
You've got another one?
Well, we moved. So the one you did a guest spot in was like that humongous place.
Yeah. Right by the Hard Rock or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So we went over to Fashion Show Mall, which is one of the biggest malls on the strip.
Did you get something that's more suitable to your size? That last one was basically like the Fantasy Factory.
I know, dude.
Did you have a foam pit in the back?
I'll tell you this. And I think you, Kyle, this is like whatever those moments are when it's like, you told me when I opened that store that it was not, and I wouldn't say it was a bad move, but you were like, don't overextend yourself and don't make the rent. Don't make the rent.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? More than it should be. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, Kyle Dunbar.
you wanted to make a big splash then. It was
because I had worked in casino shops before and I worked in other stores before.
So and
I
now you're right across the street from the Hard Rock at this point, one.
So, but in hindsight, dumb move. You know, the rent was too high. Like it was like we were just surviving. Like we didn't really make money. We had great numbers, but we didn't really make money. So
right, because you're making your landlord rich.
Yeah, exactly. Those guys could care less about us. So
did you sign a triple net too, or is that?
No, it was just
okay.
No, but you know, it was the cams, and the cams were crazy. And
those cams were, my son loved that shot because you had all those cameras set up.
Oh, yeah.
And and he sat there like he was playing Five Nights at Freddy's and would just switch from camera to camera.
Nice, dude. I tell you, it's I like that. I like that. That David was always like, you had said that before, like that he loves watching the cameras. And that's one of the, not that I'm regretting it, but you know, moving it to the new location, I didn't bring the cameras over because it was so expensive.
Too much hassle?
Okay. Well, it was just very expensive. I would have to upgrade it, everything in the new location to put the cameras in. And, you know, the artists were kind of burnt out on it. You know what I mean? It was great for the customers. Great for the customers because they'd walk in and go, I'm going to have my whole family in three different states watching. And it was such a good advertising tool for us. But the artists have to want to do it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And it can be a lot to imagine that anybody's looking at you. I mean, we already know, right?
Yeah.
I stood up a lot straighter than I ever did on season 3.
Right.
I go back and look. I'm like, man, your posture is good for the first time ever.
Yeah. I tell you, there was one little funny story about those cameras. I was tattooed on the lady's back and we took a break and she got a hot dog from next door, a chili cheese dog. She started downing that hot dog on camera.
Not thinking about it.
Like all these people started texting her and shooting her screenshots of her just like with a messy mouth all over her face. I tell you, she showed me the picture when she came back out and I was like, I have to share that. That's just too funny.
Yeah. That's did she forget or,
No, sure I just think she was just sitting there like, you know, hey, we're taking a break from tattooing. So the camera's probably off and not even thinking about it, but it was like right there in her face. And she's just pounding this hot dog with chili all over her face.
Skyline chili dog.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
the best that the best cuisine that Vegas has to offer. Dude, we had some of the best cuisine that Vegas had to offer.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that meal we had together?
Awesome meal. Yeah. At RM Seafood. Yeah,
I forgot the name of it.
Yeah.
Boy, that was good stuff. I think Ruck didn't like it. He went out for Burger King after or something like that.
No
King
way.
Ruck. I'm pretty sure he did. He's like, fuck this. No, I was like, that was awesome, man. I don't know. Maybe if he did, he might not have ate certain foods or something.
Yeah, maybe he didn't like seafood or something, but man, that was a good meal. That's what I mean. I miss all that. Like I haven't been out, I haven't traveled and since COVID, like pre-COVID. So usually I do Canada a couple times and, you know, sometimes I do Detroit and I have not been out. So.
Well, then we missed you in Detroit. Yeah. It was fun. Good time. Yeah. I did not go to Canada. Where do you go? Quebec?
No, I do Edmonton and the Calgary. And then I also do my buddy Will's show in Lethbridge, which they're all like basically straight up from Vegas. Like it's 2 hours. You know, flight, so it's too easy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I do them a couple times, you know, it's just easy shows.
You know what else they're doing?
A lot of Canadian
shows up there in Canada.
What's that now?
You know what else they're doing for shows up there in Canada?
Well, I might. Well,
Ink Master season, I don't know, what are they, 32 now?
I don't know.
They treat me, like I said, I'm redheaded stepchild. They're like, we broke you, you're broken, you're done.
No, I bet you, Kyle, if you wanted to go back, like you said, Andrea came back to you and talked to you. I bet you if you were like, hey, let me try one more time.
I think she's mad. The last time I texted her, I was like, man, I wish I knew exactly what I said. But I was like, you guys kind of, you know, Scott's breaking in front of me. You guys, I don't know what you want, if there's anything you can do. And I think I might have chided her a little bit on that at one point too. Like, you know, he wasn't my friend. It wasn't my job to step in, you know?
Right.
And I don't know. I guess it wasn't her job. Maybe, but if there were anything that she'd be mad about, it might be that. But, you know, people grow. I had to grow.
Yeah. I mean, it's been like 8-9 years already. Like, it's crazy how long it's been.
You feel one way for people at one day, and then you're downloading Clutchy's new album the next.
No, I won't be doing that.
No.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. No. Maybe it was on Twitter, like you posted or something. Uh-huh. And I think I listened to the first 15 seconds.
I listened. Okay. I really look forward to having him back on because I want to go over with him. I don't want to cut on him too much because it's not my shit neither. But honestly, he had some hooks I could get into a bit.
Yeah.
But his lyrics to me were like shotguns. I'm like, what is your point, man? That's always been my problem with rap, though. With many raps. Like I like a slick rip rap. A slick rip rap. Yeah, they had a story from the start to the beginning to the end.
Right, right. Yeah, they told a story while they're doing it, not just making like little sentence verses and then like
going saying on another thing. Yeah. I got a car with spinning rims. And
not that I like Josh, but I mean, he was fun on the show in a sense. It was always one of those things where it was like we were just trying to figure out which way he was going. You know what I mean? He'd walk up and go, hey, let's play spades together. I want to come do a guest spot at your shop, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden the next thing he's like, fuck you guys. And you're just like, well, which one is it, dude? You want to be friendly or not? Like, we don't care. Just pick one, you know?
Did you listen to the interview I had with him on here at all?
I listened to some of it. I tried to get through it, honestly. And it's the same as watching the show. If I'm not invested in that person, it's like Walters, I listened to the whole thing. You know what I mean? Like I went right through.
Right.
You know what I mean? Cause I love Walter. You know what I mean? So it was easy listening for me, but for his, I just kind of like, it wasn't my topics. So I was like, whatever, you know,
it's perfect. Really. Cause it's a lot. I have some fan questions. One of them I can strike off right now already. Right. The question was just simply, I'd like to hear more about how Josh sucked. Ha ha.
All right. I'll say this, like on, it's cool to see these guys go back on. Mm-hmm. When Josh went on, what is it, 5 or whatever season he went on the second time, stronger. Way stronger.
It might have been 6.
Yeah. So five. On our no, it season, was 5. On our season, was he a strong artist? He was technically sound somewhat, but
yeah,
you know, the 5-hour outline of the Starfish will be, it is what it is. It took, he did, you know, it wasn't one pass. He took 5 hours to do an outline. So
I'll stick behind him with that. That one pass bullshit can suck my dick. I'm done with giving a fuck. I haven't found anybody that can do it one pass.
Yeah, exactly. And, that's for you people know, to say that. Exactly. I would, I sit there still to this day. I don't pull like more than 3 inches. You know what I mean? Like it's literally like, and then I'm like half the time, like going back over that, like a little brush strokes look, you know, I don't know. I never had like Walter Sausage. He's way more a technical artist than I am. And I'm amazed to see him do stuff. And then, you know, mine is a little bit looser, not as technical, I guess, but it's just fun to see it. But yeah, no, Josh doesn't suck. You know, he never sucked. He was just hard to read as a person.
Because after he was being a dick to everybody.
He came back bragging. He came back. Just like we're talking about him now. That was one of the things he talked about. Like when we went back for the finale or something, he goes, he had his minutes down to the T.
Yeah.
He knew how long he was on the show, how long, you know, and just like we're talking about now, like that's all he wanted. He wanted the press. He wanted to be.
Well, I think you got to come away with something in the end. And I think they told him that too. I wonder if he asked or if they told him.
Right.
I think
the billboards and Mystical Mike. Remember that?
Mystical Mike is.
I'm going to be on the billboards and you guys are going to be nothing. And we're all sitting there going, who is this clown?
You know? I don't remember Mystical saying that. Did he say that?
Oh, yeah.
That is so awesome.
Yeah. One of the group conversations, we were talking about stuff and he was just like, I'm going to be on billboards in New York City. And
now I forgot how quick he was removed.
Like he was on, what is it? He made two episodes, but he's a genius. He's a genius.
Look how well he's remembered for that short amount of time.
Well, you know, I'm talking about like he was so far ahead on using tattoo machines, having one machine.
And how many machines do you use? I never
imagine going anywhere with two machines now. I only have one.
Yes. See, he was far ahead of the game, wasn't he? And he was using a Cheyenne for that. There wasn't it was something like that. They used several different needle heads. So,
yeah,
I don't know. But yeah, I think he was kind of genius. To have to be remembered, he's one of the most requested people. If I keep doing polls, but who would you like to have on? People want to have Mystical Mike on, and he's also one of the most reluctant. What's that?
I said I'm sure he'd go on here, wouldn't he?
No, he's been reluctant. He I'm pretty excited. He just texted me yesterday and said, "Bro, I love you. I trust you. I'll do this when you want to do it."
You're not gonna like. I'm sure. I mean,
I ain't trying to hurt him.
You're not going to stir people in the wrong way.
Yeah. You know, maybe when we were on competition, but now.
Right.
No, you do kind of, in the competition, it does kind of everybody's traits. It's not like that, like you're mad at them or anything, but they definitely grind you a bit different, you know?
Right. I look back at it now and, you know, when you got the hand jammer on that guy, the old guy. My intentions at the time, like honestly, what would you say that I gave that to you on purpose?
I wasn't thinking that far ahead that day.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
I wasn't like, look at my first skull pick. I would, you know, what did I do? I just
gave it to everybody, which you screwed me again.
If I had anybody, that's the first thing Jimmy said was, "You screwed me," and I'm like, going. I was like, dude, I was taking the easy way out. I thought, you know, and I did.
You gave Tattoo Baby a great fucking day.
Yeah.
Mine
was hard enough, whatever.
It was harder than Tattoo Baby's. I would have took Tattoo Baby's because of where it was at. But I follow what you were doing. You didn't want to.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to rub anybody's feathers off the bat. Exactly. Like I won the thing, which questionable. But
why? What do you mean?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, I look at it now and what I can do now to what I did then. You know what I mean? Like, as an artist, you always look at your stuff. You know what I mean? I could be sitting there going through the tattoo going, man, this has turned out pretty cool. I take a picture 15 minutes later and I'm like, that freaking sucked. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Every day.
A tip for artists. I see this kid do it from California one time at the show. He was staring at his tattoo. In his camera for like 10 minutes. Yeah. And I thought he was done. And then the guy's sitting back down. I was like, oh, what you doing, man? You know, you doing a second set? He's like, nah, man, I like to stare at in my camera because that's where he sees more flaws. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I do the same.
Take yourself away from it and then look at it. Yeah, that way.
And see what just jumps out.
That was my one tip from the show from any artist that wants to go on is the black Sharpie. Like that's when they say add more black. Like I was like, oh, I don't know. And then I would start doing that. I'd be done. And I would actually take a black Sharpie and hit some areas and go, okay, that does look way better. And so I'd black it in. So,
okay.
It's pretty cool. But then I,
came to you is on the fly because of all the black that they were talking about.
The second tattoo I did, the heart one I did was one of the first ones. I just took it and was like, okay. And I saw, you could physically see it. So, a cool thing. But the day we did the portraits, I remember that one. I thought I was doing a great job on the portrait. You know, I was like, oh, cool. This looks pretty good. And then I took the Sharpie, but it wasn't a Sharpie. I was like, oh, there's no Sharpie here. So I'm going to use a skin scribe. And I took one little mark right down the middle of that guy's eyes.
That darkened it all up like a motherfucker.
It took me 10 minutes to wipe it off with alcohol. And it's funny because I'm sitting there. And of course, during the critique, you know, what's his name? The guest art guest judge, Corey Miller, was like, he looks aggro, bro. He looks aggro, bro. And I'm like going, I was thinking, what does aggro mean for half a second? I was like, what is that? What is he talking about?
It's some California lingo. You should know it, shouldn't you?
And then, but it's just one of those things. Like, I think I realized pretty quickly on that arguing with them was, there was zero benefit. You know what I mean?
Now, did you find the same when you went back as a coach on season 12?
Well, like I said, I wasn't tattooing, so it wasn't like,
right.
You know, they were, I thought that was the girl that won. I told her she was probably going to win after she did her tattoo and stuff. I was like, you got it. You know, you've got it all. You can tattoo really well. She wasn't, she gave herself a kneecap tattoo. Like, she won.
Oh, wow. Thing.
Yeah. And she's like, I'll take the kneecap. And she put a big old clown face on the kneecap or whatever. And she was just like, she had no fear. You know what I mean? And I was like, you got the looks, you can tattoo really good. I was like, you're probably going to win. And she won. So
you think the looks helped in that situation for her?
You know,
don't hurt.
Well, they don't hurt. They don't hurt anything. You know, certain people get like I said, put in certain spots to further the show or further things, you know, but she's a great artist. You can always tell the ones that have the art background that went to all these art schools, like the last three or four seasons, there've been pretty strong people that's all they did. You know, they go to art college for art, and you know, we're old school, man. Nobody, we didn't do that shit. You know what I mean? We just,
I do. I don't think I could compete anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, yeah,
those kids have moved beyond.
Yeah.
I think Anthony was one of the first people that I really saw that. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That kid was pretty.
He came to the store, and I mean, tell you that, like, exactly, that kid drew some stuff on with a Sharpie, and you're just like, I'm sitting next to this guy.
But I feel
humble guy too. Anthony's so cool.
Daniel Silva too. Look forward to him getting.
Oh yeah, look at this stuff.
He was very talented.
Yeah, it was funny. That season, it was him and that girl, the one that does all the roses. And I think it was Detroit. I came down to elevator, and they popped out. And he was like, "Hey, yeah, man, how you doing?" And the girl's like, "Who's that guy?" So he won his season, and she goes, "Oh, okay," you know, because it was probably whatever, six seasons later, whatever it was.
And you're just an old timer, completely passed over now, huh?
Oh yeah, I'm past my prime, buddy.
When Netflix went off, did you feel it like overnight?
Oh my god, yeah. Like it's almost like I was just on it.
Yes.
Like being in the mall in Vegas, like you are every day. Somebody's walking by, like.
I literally had somebody that thought it was just the other day, and they were like, "Oh, I can't wait till the season. Are you coming back for season 5?" She said.
Right.
Right. I was like, honey, they're on like season 32.
Right.
She's like, no, they just had 4 come out.
Yeah, I thought they were all out. So I just, whenever 3 popped, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, everything just started growing back up again. Like all my social media started going back up. And yeah, people are like,
I ended up with a podcast.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. As soon as I saw the first one, I was like, oh, that's cool. You know?
I had to something had to take advantage of that popularity that was going on. I don't know if something had to take advantage. Actually, I really wanted I should give more plugs for my clan, Almighty Tattoo Clan. You need to hit it up if you play Call of Duty Mobile. Give a kid a fucking like. But that's what I was going to do. I was ready to game instead of tattoo, but luckily I've got really interesting friends like yourself.
Yeah. Well, I saw your little your map and stuff, like that's awesome. Like the reach is getting out there, you know, and
it's 50 countries. We hit top 20% with one of these here in America in comedy. Because I you know, why be anywhere else? That's what I said. I don't know if it's so funny, but not all comedy has to be good, you know.
Yeah, there's dry humor all day.
I'm kind of
a dry person myself, so I get my little jokes in here and there, but you know,
which. Are what? Your dad joke nowadays or not?
No, just busting people's balls at work. Like being the ex-military guy, I think that's what helps out a lot. Like we used to stand around there all the time and just jab each other. It was as many things as you could say, you know, like trying to rip people down, you know, but.
In the good family way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what's that's what leads to the camaraderie that grows into revolt spreading.
Oh yeah, there's a couple of guys in there that are always busting balls, but in a good way, like just laughing and having fun, like nobody's going in there.
Well, yeah, it must be working. That's what I say, because of, you know, revolt is growing by its own fruition of some sort. You're not even trying to grow this thing.
Yeah, Elijah Wynn.
Thank you. Yeah. Man, I love that guy. It's so exciting to see him be part of your team.
Yeah, no, he was going to Tahoe for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, killing it in Tahoe. He'd go up there and snowboard and do all of his winter stuff, and then he would tattoo. And that guy could run the shop by himself, like his system of how he was mm-hmm. doing stuff. And he was almost beating one of our other stores by himself.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
While vacationing?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but he would tattoo all night. Like, he'd walk up. There was no shop help. By himself, and he would just be like, "What do you want to get? Leave your name and number on the pad of paper, and I'll call you when I'm ready." And he would just, you know, tattoo till 2-3 in the morning.
You have a place in Tahoe then, right? A revolt.
Yeah,
tattoo
the Hard Rock Casino in Tahoe. Yeah.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. See, they called. Awesome. That's what I mean. They called us. Hey, you want to open a store next to studio next to the front check-in desk? It's only like, it's a little 3-person, you know, station, but
right.
It's awesome. You know, I've been up there a couple times and but that's where Elijah's at. It's in Houston. So he asked about, you know, like, he's like, "Oh, what do you want to do here?" And I was like, "Well, let's first research." Like we always use the same company as the mall as our first base. And they have 5 freaking A+ malls, which is, you know, high traffic, high dollar amount. So
right,
and
it tells you where the good sources of clients would be.
Correct. Where the A+ malls are what you want to be in. You don't want to go into anything. We've got one in a C mall right now, and it's just like horrible. But that's
C mall.
Yeah, it's just like there is nobody spending money. There's no foot traffic. But it was the first mall we went into, and that company owned that mall, so that's why we went in there, because they wanted to test us out. But we're still on that lease right now, so it's just, as soon as we're done, we're getting out of there. So, but yeah, so Houston, it'll be, you know, there. Raphael went there this weekend to do all the groundwork. They should be open like in 30 days. So
that is really exciting.
So any artists out there that are in Houston area that want to, you know, have a cool job and have fun, you know, hit us up.
And people interested in learning about another artist, look up Elijah. How do you spell his last name?
NYGYNN, I think. But I don't know if he has Twitter or not, because he got his Instagram hacked.
So, oh, really?
He got hacked. Yeah, so it was not Ink Lounge anymore. It's something else.
At any rate, moving on. More Ink Master stuff. You know, we got to keep the fans happy. I do have some fan questions.
I was like,
I
wonder what we're going to talk about.
Well, yeah, you know. The same for a lot of these people, it is yesterday. So explain to them how frustrating it was working with Danger on the Flash Challenge.
Oh, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. I know, like, it came off on TV, like.
Yes.
You know,
with the 2 edits from the whole thing that they were going to put in.
Yeah. I think it was because he wanted to put a football field or something on the front of the car with 2 footballs, you know, instead of doing the flame job on the, you know, awesome Camaro or whatever it was. And I'm just like, the skulls and the flames. And I know you like skulls and flames, Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
No, but,
Well, I'm a fan for sure, and I don't think that you weren't either. It was the one image that you had in your place. It was what kept beating me with. I was now, mad from Skulls and Flames for the first day.
That's one of the few things I'm comfortable with drawing, I guess, as far as just drawing off the top of my head. Yeah. I don't know why.
Remember the very first day. I don't know. There might have been another person that was in contention. Remember the very first day we're in a jail cell.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to deal with somebody that wanted to fight with me. And you got to do some Skull and Flames, and it seemed like you had the whole day to do it. Probably got there early, set up. Then we all came in. You're already working. You had a 15 mag out. We're all working with single needles.
Oh no, I had a single needle buddy, just like you.
But yeah, they come up and they you know, they're like, man, it was one of these two. Nah, that's Skull Flames, man. That's dope.
Yeah. It was just a skull. I didn't do the flames on that one, but it was a skull.
Oh no.
Okay. But it was like a softball size. Like I had never used a single needle, so I had no idea like how long. You know, I've used tight threes, but I never used a single. It was a little bit floppier, I guess.
Right. You get used to it though, right? Have you used them since? Did it make you want to pull them out?
No, just tight three.
Right.
Tight three, the needle's way more sturdy.
Yeah, at least it doesn't move around on you.
Yeah. No, so Danger, like I like the, he was a unique, you know, kind of guy. And definitely.
Danger is unique. He did all that plastination. You knew that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like he was upset that he didn't get to have all of it because he had like a couple of cats or something. He had some.
I think he was glad in the end because they broke one of them. That one. It was that thing was cool. That demon thing with the horns coming off it or whatever. It was like a goat horns on a monkey. Yeah. And I guess it dropped off the wall.
Oh, so damn.
I know that they put up some of my paintings on the wall just with like tape. It was just gaff tape folded over.
Oh, no way. Double-sided sticky tape and surprise it fell down.
Yeah. It's got a little dent in it. But you know,
no, it was easy working with him. Like Jackie was cool. Like it was, you know, it's still the same thing. That was our second challenge. You know?
Right. So nobody really knows each other at that point.
Yeah. Either. Yeah. For sure.
I know we worked with Mystical that day. And I think everybody else is pretty mad that we got a chance to work with him because I think they all wanted, most people were envious of us.
Right. I was. Was it you and was it Craig too?
Yeah.
You, Craig, and
I think all of us, except for Mystical, really, to be honest, he probably had the most passion for it the whole time. And me and Craig just kind of drudged through it doing, you know, straight lines because it seemed like that's what the car needed. And
yeah,
would have been fun to do some flames.
Yeah.
I think definitely the smartest choice. I guess you and I'm guessing that's what it is. Candy wrote me a list of things here, and I'm guessing that we have popular Ink Master crushes. Is that right?
What does that mean?
I don't even know what that means. On Reddit thread, both of us are listed as popular Ink Master crushes by fans.
Okay.
It means we're hot, brah. What you think?
Well, I will say this. Like, we do look similar. You know what I mean? Like, it's like we have the same kind of haircut.
They changed my hair because we had the same haircut.
Thank God I didn't have to dye my hair with a little streak in it. And they cut Josh's hair off and they gave Craig cornrow. Like, it's just like, wow. Like, you know, you don't know all that about you.
Or no. Those were that's the way you were dressing. You're always kind of upscale, kind of preppy style, right?
No, I just wore a vest. They say, give us like whatever, five outfits that you would, or something you would wear. So I put a vest on and one because I'll wear suits if I go out to go do something. I don't wear a suit to tattoo in. And, and they're like, that's it. You're going to wear button downs and a vest. So
who is it? Was there a certain suit that you're wearing? I thought I overheard you say at one time. The name of a
John Varvatos.
That I remember how distinctly you say
it's like, Detroit. Nah,
he's from Detroit.
Yeah, there's a huge John Varvatos store in Detroit.
I should probably know more.
Yeah, Howard Stern rocks that. Like it's a pretty popular brand. Like it's just a cool rocker, edgy kind of. If you want to be a hip
suit
guy,
dress up, it's kind of an in between. Then, huh? He made the thing for Bam Margera's.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm making that up. Okay. Any thoughts on that? So does you knowing how many girls got a crush on you? Do you go home and tell your wife, "Hey, you better keep it flying straight"?
There's many dudes with crushes on my wife that I don't have to, I don't even try on.
Why would that be? We might as well talk about that because your wife is fitness model. Is that right? Fitness competition model.
Yeah, she was an IFBB pro bikini. So for 8 years, she would just the most utmost respect for her, because she would go through and train and do all this stuff. I think during during the finale, she was getting ready to do a show in Texas. So she's sitting there eating jellyfied fish in the morning of that morning.
Oh, wow.
Like just eating it cold out of a little container. And I'm like going, this is so gross. You know what I mean? Like, but she would do it. She sat there and I mean, just the willpower
feel like
this girl has to do it.
Bodybuilding, maybe more so, but that whole competition level of fitness and bodybuilding is some of the most demanding or most extreme, because it's so demanding, body modification.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Like the crazy part about her going through all that, and the typical lifespan of one of those competitors is 2 years, because your body goes through so many changes and goes through all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then they don't tell you like all the stuff you deal with later on. There's so many of her friends have thyroid problems or Hashimoto, okay. Like, you know, just tons of,
because from the extreme dieting that has
to. Exactly. Like all this 2 hours of cardio a day and like all, you know, your body just, it's not built for that stuff. So, but you know,
is that why you don't do it yourself then?
What are you saying, Kyle? Am I chubby? No,
I'm just curious. Did you get up there in the Speedo for anybody?
Oh no, hell no. Do you know, Big Siege just did it.
Yes, he did. Didn't he? And yeah. He's doing it again right now. He's cutting down. I seen Pudgy Cease in Detroit recently.
Right.
And he's got like 25, 35 pounds of fat he's taken off now. Big kid. But yeah, he's getting up there in his fucking grape smugglers, showing everybody the boys.
Yeah, I knew. Much respect for that. And same thing, like the people that do that, like that's just.
It is extreme. I mean,
especially if you're doing a 9-to-5 job and doing that.
Which also, though, has to be extreme. I'll never forget we knew that your wife was competition, but you never really thought how it entered into your life until I saw an Instagram post from you that was your wife walking in a bikini, all tanned up and all that, and getting show ready, right? She's practicing her walk in her high heels. It's a very attractive thing, you know what I mean? And this is definitely what you're showing in your Instagram post. And then you look down at your, I don't know, granola bar cereal or whatever inside of your, and you just like, this is your life. Just like,
right. My wife's practicing in the morning to the mirror and I'm sitting there eating my granola. Yeah.
Yeah. I got a runway fashion show for my breakfast.
Yeah. I know.
I suggested at one time that you had a trophy wife in a manner to joke about that. And my wife was quick to tell me, no. I think that his wife has a trophy husband.
Oh, well, that's very kind of her to say that.
Ed, or just to put me in my place. Jeez.
Right.
Like, he already beat me on the show, Candy. Come on.
Yeah. Trust me. I love my wife and it's, you know, we've been, I think it's 13 years now already. And, you know, we've got a little boy. Thank you. Our little boy is 4 years old now. And
so the girls on the Reddit can give it up.
Yeah. You know, I'm past.
You're secure in your marriage. Okay.
I'm past my prime anyway. I don't want to. They're probably looking at 8-year pictures ago of Joey, not of current Joey.
Does current Joey still have hair?
Oh yeah, no.
Good job.
I've got 99% of it.
I've been fighting, man. I can't put the blonde streak anymore because it looks like just one bald streak right there.
Oh yeah, no. I dye my hair. I was dyeing it back then, so but I dye it now and it's still. But my beard's all my, you know, goatee's pretty much grayed out. And
right on. I didn't know you were dying it then, I guess.
Yeah, no, I actually, I went away. Mm-hmm. Like you guys went and did something and they took me into New York and I got my hair cut and colored. It's like $800.
What?
I know.
Oh, I remember that you couldn't, you weren't. And
I wasn't.
And we all just let him. Did you see the barber? Heck, well, no, I guess that was on season 4. Right. Like, I don't know. I wonder if I would have put up with it better if I didn't have to keep looking at myself and I looked like angry Kyle even more because they cut my hair so short.
Oh, the high and the high and tight.
Yeah. They gave me, it was like, well, and they came back and they're like, well, that might mess with the continuity some. No, everybody forgot about it. I think they do certainly, and I love them for it, I guess. Because if you think about the numbers, fuck, man, I had to be the one coming back because they had much longer to be able to vote for me, you know, for Twitter, at least.
Yeah.
And I feel the same happens then.
Like you're a good character on TV, Kyle. Like, you know what I mean? You still got that rough, edgy grit to you. You know what I mean? So I think that was you had your draw of what people wanted to see or what they wanted in a character to come back, you know? And I remember hearing multiple times that you and Chris's, you know, dust up was like the most watched episode ever. You know what I mean? So
I hope so. God bless him. There's a lot to go through.
I just wish he would have been, you know, I know it would have been a good
season
fight.
Three.
Yeah, I know it'd have been a good fight. And that's,
I think he's stronger than people would give him credit for.
Yeah, well, yeah, you both trained. You know what I mean? Like you both trained. I knew it was going to be.
Does he train now? I don't.
I don't know. He
beat my ass. No, I'm on a walker. Honestly, Chris May did a far better tattoo than I did. Maybe if my contrast was different, you know, I worked it on a girl that was that didn't tan, and we got there, and the girl was from, she was Jersey Shore, GTL kind of.
Right.
Everything changed.
She was all tanned up for the show.
Yeah. I brought my colors. I brought my color palette. Yeah. And none of them were like
that's what amazed me any too, darker though, than her. Mm-hmm. That what amazed me too was because that was supposed to be a fan vote too. And the show had, well, I guess, did the show air before that? It did. So they were picking those two, and I thought for sure Craig was going to get a chance right then.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's what I was very disappointed in that because, you know.
I look forward to having Craig on to talk about that. Craig was there in the morning because, remember, we didn't know who it was going to be.
Yeah.
And he woke up in the morning to find out because we knew, like, we all pretty much knew I was going to be there,
yeah,
because of the amount of time and the voting. But it could have been Josh. But I was really surprised to see Chris, and I think Chris says it too. You know, he's like, I was surprised because he didn't like work his ass off to do that. He got removed so much earlier.
Yeah,
that it was almost like he didn't stand a chance against my popularity level.
Right,
no matter what he tattooed.
Yeah, maybe they did that. I mean, who knows?
Yes, maybe they did.
Craig's such a good guy. That's what I really enjoy about that show. Like my time was just the bonding with Craig and, you know, and with Jimmy and you guys and Jason Clay Dunn and, you know what I mean? Like it was just a cool experience for me. You know what I mean? Like I said, maybe not the same for everybody else, but.
Well, how about to have the shared experience now, too, with so many more cast members for seasons to go on, where you might just find out that somebody you met at a show is like, oh, I was also on that show. Like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then you guys start talking about Hard Ice and stuff.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, there's so many people now. Like, there's probably 200 people that have done the show or whatever, artist-wise. Who knows?
My wife would tell me exactly because she has emails out to almost all of them. Yeah. Right. I've got a year's worth of podcasts. That's what I know.
That's awesome, man. I can't wait to hear some of them for sure. Like I would say Jimmy for sure, if you can get him on there.
Yes.
He's such a cool guy. And,
you're right? Nowadays though, you're not just keeping yourself busy with tattoos. No. You've got more on, and you're not just keeping yourself busy with Revolt tattoos, but you're making NFTs and building a community, right?
I am trying.
Sorry for taking so long to get to this.
Oh, no.
It's really one of the more exciting parts of what's going on in your life today, I'd imagine.
You know, I got a really good guy, Jason Capps. Mm-hmm. He's one of the guys at Revolt. And me and him, you know, I came up with a character in the sense of the name of it. So Tattoo Bum is the name of it. And the whole premise is that anybody can be a bum. You know, you can have a lawyer that's dressed in a suit, heavily tattooed. You can have a doctor. You can have a beach guy. You could have, you know, you name it, any skin color, whatever. And goofy looking, not goofy, whatever. So, and I always like art. You know, that was my whole premise of this, is to try and have some little art kind of cool character that people can resonate with, or people can think that it resembles themselves type of thing. So that's where it all started at. And we drew like 200 plus layers to put this whole thing together.
And so these people can pick attributes that would look like them too, possibly?
Not yet. I'll get to that point. So the first part is they get all put together. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So the computer randomly generates they're going to generate probably 10,000 characters, and then they get put out. So the cool part that hasn't been done yet, because, you know, I like to try and do shit that hasn't been done. The cameras were one of the first things that was before Facebook Live, Instagram Live. So this thing for the NFTs is I'm going to have guest artists come into town, you know, hypothetically, and they're going to draw 10 traits themselves. And then you're going to be able to pick two. You can either take, like, if your guy has a suit on and you want to see what tattoos on he has underneath, you could take the suit on. But if you want a new tattoo, so the first guy coming in,
get to strip these little cartoon guys down. Or?
Yeah, well, not in a sexual way, but yes. But you could take your shirt off. You could change the glasses, change the hat. But the cool thing is you can
get to take it off. I determine whether it's sexual. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You can cover up a tattoo, basically. So Sausage is going to be the first one. He's going to design a couple of tattoos. And if you want to change your NFT and put one of those on, it's going to be able to happen. And then every month or 2 months, Jesse Smith is already lined up. I'm going to ask you to do it. Like, you draw, like, you know, 5 or 6 layers onto the drawing, and then people can... If they're a huge fan of Kyle Dunbar, they're going to pick your tattoo and put it on.
Own a piece of me. My first thought is I make one that looks like me, and then I make it so you can take my clothes off. But then they own this too, right? They own, so they can make t-shirts.
The person will own it. Yes. Yes. So this listen to this real quick though. Mm-hmm. So the guest artists coming in get to design a one-on-one for themselves. As far as I understand right now. So that means, yes, Kyle Dunbar, if you come on, you can take our little outline of our character and make it look as close as possible to you. And then either a fan, you know, give it to a fan, keep it for yourself, whatever you want to do. So
I think I'll keep it myself because I don't want everybody taking my clothes off.
Right.
Checking out my dad by playing with my extended nipples.
Well, it's only from the waist up. So it's not a full torso.
Oh, right. They ain't going to see the money. They ain't going to see the goods.
I don't want to say you to see the money. This one of my scars from Ink Master is you doing yoga in the morning and your balls popping out. So just, you
know. Well, now we got to talk about that a bit.
No. I remember getting up because all the beds were there.
And I was doing yoga and I was wearing boxers
on the floor, and I just looked over and I was like, holy shit, that's Kyle's balls.
Now, did you notice, though, at all that Jason Clay Dunn was also up?
No.
And had been watching me for like 5-10 minutes.
Right.
Already said peeking, good morning. Never once told me my balls kept falling out.
Right. I know. I think he had boxers on or something. It was just, I would just laugh.
Yeah. I got to get some better undergarments for doing it. I guess you just get dressed, but you can't do yoga in jeans.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no. That's the one thing I got up every morning and did my little 15 minute, just something to keep my mind straight, you know.
But you had to have something, right? Like a routine.
Yeah,
or routine, you would go crazy.
The first one in the shower. Like I wasn't there to I was there to have fun and hang out, but it wasn't like I was.
You're also there to win, so you must have strategy like that. Was your workout? Was part of your kind of strategy like that? Were there other things too?
You know, I'm just going to be completely honest here. I didn't have a strategy to win. I knew I could be in the top, you know what I mean? But I wasn't going in there going, you know, especially when Craig rattled off like the first three, he should have won all three, the first three.
And they're pretty. Yeah.
Yeah. You're just like, this guy's a freaking monster, but you know, I'll circle back to this later as far as other things about that part, but you know, you just see people doing stuff like that. And I didn't really have a plan. I guess just being friends with Jimmy, and I'm just being honest. Like, I think that helped me out in the end, because he wasn't looking to screw. And I was, you know, I wasn't either, but we weren't looking to screw each other over. You know, if I've always said this, like, and we were saying it at the time.
So
like,
you had a little secret alliance is what you're trying to get around.
Well, we were friends. We worked together. We worked together at another shop before we even went on the TV.
Like, which it was actually a fan question that I fucked up. But
yeah, we worked.
Was there anybody else that you knew before you were coming on there?
Just Jimmy, like as somebody that I knew.
And you worked at Hart and Huntington?
Yeah. And we've been like, he tattooed in Florida and then we tattooed together at Hart and Huntington.
Which was a TV show too, though, right?
Yeah, I was on the TV show. He wasn't really on there. So I was on there. I was at that shop first, but and then I told him, I said, "Dude, we're killing it, making all this money out here. You got to come out here." So he moved out and stuff. So
stuff. I know. I can't wait to have him on because he's. I want to hear how he feels about Vegas now. Sometimes time heals wounds, and I remember when he was talking about Vegas prior to me. He was like, "I hate Vegas."
Yeah. He just didn't have a good experience. Like it's funny because he would always travel and he'd come back and he'd be like, "I'm not busy." I'm like, going, "It's because you're always gone." You know,
right.
You gotta just have your roots to get a clientele. And
Gunner talks something about that, you know, and I found it to be true too.
Yeah.
Where you can't, you know, you can't just settle right back down into tattooing at home. You need to, it takes a minute.
You gotta build it back up. Yeah. So, but yeah, Jimmy was it as far as like just being friendly. And then the first van ride, Craig, like they didn't, you know, they didn't let us talk for like an hour or however long that drive was. And then they go, "Okay, you can talk." And I had Maddie, Mystical Mike, and then Craig in the van with me. Yeah. And Craig, so Craig used to work for Dino Cook and Dino did my forearms. So,
okay, yes.
You know what I mean? So it just was like this cool, you know how it is in tattooing. Oh, cool. You know, so-and-so. Yeah, cool. We're buddies. You know what I mean? So it was
right.
Just, and Jimmy and him were buddies.
I'm guessing that Mystical quickly started taking up all the
oxygen all in the van.
Yeah. Am I wrong?
No. He started going off on some tangent UFO shit that we were just all sitting there going, "What the fuck is this guy
right. talking about?" Like, you just got allowed to, people listening may not understand, but when we all met and they loaded us into vans, the first instruction was that we could not talk. Right. And they were being very, you know, about that. They were like, "No, you guys, nobody gets to
don't
say
even look around. Don't look around." And
they were telling you not to look around?
Yeah, like for an hour.
Right on.
Like, it was like a 2 hour, or an hour and a half ride. It was like, and that first hour was like,
and then they let you talk. I think me and Made Rich and everybody in our, we were already talking.
Oh yeah, nice.
I'm pretty sure.
I remember the first stop. I think at the first, when we stopped for the, whatever we stopped for, that's when I saw Jimmy and I was like, "Holy shit, Jimmy's here." So I didn't even know he was there and it was kind of funny.
It was pretty exciting to be able to catch up with somebody that you knew then.
Oh yeah. No, instantly.
Was it also cool.
That's
a threat?
Why we put our beds over there by each other. You know what I mean? Cause we already knew each other. You know what I mean? So it was kind of like, we're just going to go through this experience together.
So, was it much of a threat or were, because you knew there was going to be three finalists?
No. In the beginning, I didn't know how good anybody was. You know what I mean? Like we all were just like, "Let's see what this guy can do." I knew Jimmy from the competitions from shows because he would win Tattoo of the Day all the time. You know what I mean? That guy used to rock it. So, of course, I'm like, "Okay, well, I got, you know, Jimmy's here. So that's going to be one tough one to get over." So, but I the only reason I was saying, bringing all this up is like, I feel like Jimmy was watching out for everybody else and he did not play the game to win in a bad way. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't there to fuck somebody over to win. And I think that's how some of us were playing that way. Like, we always said, like, if I beat Jimmy Litwalk while he's doing a Jimmy Litwalk tattoo, I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of myself. I fucking beat him. I got it. I'm not looking to throw him under the bus and beat him and then say, "Ha ha ha, I beat you."
Like, now at the same time, when it comes to Josh, I felt a little differently.
Well, yeah, because he was pushing the narrative for himself.
Yeah. And, you know we saw him. Yes. And we felt like he was a tool almost of production and the tool that we didn't like of production. And and Jimmy was leading that in kind of an honorable way. In my experience, you know, the way I felt about it, he made us all feel like we were, if we won by alliances and trickery or something like that, or handing people bad choices purposefully, then there wasn't much to the honor. Ink master term. Yeah. Right. Like yeah, what did it matter at that point?
Yeah. Yeah. And I enjoyed that. They didn't like that. The producers didn't like it because they kept on saying, you know, what's up this Kumbaya stuff and, you know, all that stuff. But I felt prouder, you know, like better about myself going through that way. But that gets back to the whole hand one for you. Like, it's like at the time, was it, you know, the hard tattoo was the armpit tattoo. That's the one where like, hey, screw you.
Yeah. Well, the butt tattoo as well. That was on what, Asian Day, I think.
Yeah.
And he was kind of pulled out of that. But it was so much. If anybody goes on, it's almost, I found this out on a job crew, I guess I should say. I used to have a crew and we had somebody on there that, you know, everybody picked on a bit. He was kind of not the best with working.
Yeah.
But something about the flow of the day just went by, right? I get rid of him at one point and suddenly everybody started to turn on each other. You know, I don't know. Everybody needed somebody to be better than. That's right. What I determined later on. But also, I feel like if Josh kind of made himself that person, and like somebody's going to have to get the armpit. And if there's this guy who's happily pushing this, you know, narrative for the producers, it's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. He did. He wanted that role and he got it, you know? So I'm okay with
it. Well, he thanked us for it actually recently. And the last time I was talking to him, he says, because that's how, and he added up the 45 minutes of airtime that he had over the season. Yeah. And he pointed out how much winners got. I think you only got like 23 or 18 or something. I don't know. Numbers.
Yeah.
But yes, he feels he benefited greatly from it. The same that I feel I benefited, you know, from Nunez trying to push a narrative for me.
Yeah. I mean, so on ours, on three, they were doing that same thing to Jason Clay Dunn, correct? Do you remember?
Doing what? Mm.
Well, at the end of the critiques, and like Jason Clay Dunn may not have been down there, but they were saying, oh, make sure you tell him he should have been down here. And I think that's
okay.
That kind of steamrolled them doing that. And I think that they were doing that to you the next year. Is that correct?
Now I remember that I, you know, I feel so stupid about it, but sometimes you don't remember see things going on if they didn't happen to you.
Right.
But now I recall that they were doing that to Jason and it was causing him crazy amounts of anxiety.
Correct. Correct. And I think that's, they did that with him and then they did that with you on your season. And that just kind of compounded, you know, the stress of the show is no joke. Like it really is stress. Like it's, like people think, oh, it's like this easy thing. And, you know,
talk to
it's like PTSD sometimes. And I couldn't imagine like the season with, you know, Clean Rock and Christian at the same time. Because I, you know, Christian worked for us for about a year for that when that was on. And when he came back, I had to pull him in the back a couple of times. Like, look, dude, you're not on the show anymore. You don't have to snap. You don't have to like,
right?
Because he was being so aggressive so fast. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And he's just like, oh, you know.
You know, I think everybody, it definitely gave me an ego, I wouldn't say trip, but you know, it made you have to be introspective. And it did give you a certain kind of power, you felt like. And you had to be careful how you treated that because you could be a douchebag with it.
Yeah.
I just tried to get free sandwiches. I know some people try to get laid.
Master.
Yeah. Get me a pastrami on rye. I like good Reuben.
Oh my God, you know. It's Kyle. I'm going to give him a free pastrami.
Well, you know, if someone's ready to take a picture, I'll still ask him, hey man, I'll take a picture. You want to buy me a Reuben? That's not true, actually. That's Gilbert Godfrey will do that. Well, when he was still alive, he just passed, right? But, I always thought of that when people would come to say hi, because I was like, now how would you angle this?
You know? A lot of times they travel to see you, you know, and they
oh yeah,
part of the whole thing you sign up for, you know?
Yeah, I shouldn't make it sound like I complain now to think about it, because I do enjoy it thoroughly. One thing it does is it keeps that popularity going, because all these people are now putting you out there on the fucking interwebs.
Yeah.
You know, so it kind of almost compounds. Well,
they want to see what you say now. You know what I mean? That's the whole thing. Like, they're
that's hopefully the they tune into the podcast
because of the show. You know?
Yeah. We met. Yeah, Jinx.
What else? What I was going to say too about like one of the ideas of the show, going back to Craig, and I think that's one of the flaws of the show, is that everybody doesn't stay to the end. And the reason I'm saying that is because how many people, you know, like the girl on Scott Marshall's season that was on Japanese Day, she had the second best tattoo, but they sent her home because she didn't have, like, she, you know, overall wasn't competing as well as, and Scott had the worst tattoo, but he didn't go home.
Okay. You know what I mean? And they I don't know if I recall it. That was on season 4.
Yeah, it was on 4. Like, well, there's 4 or 5 people left. There was probably 5 people left because Halo was 4.
So oh, okay. They sent Melissa Monroe
home. Yeah, yeah. And they were like, oh, you got the second best tattoo, but we're going to send you home.
Because of your report card.
Right. And well, the reason, what I'm saying, what I want to finish with is mm-hmm. because who knows if she wouldn't have killed the next 4 tattoos.
Right. And you're also, what would happen if Craig were allowed to be, you know, if there was a round robin or whatever, a tournament, what's the loser's bracket tournament?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Like they go, like the chef's kitchen, you go get it, come back up type of show.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh shit. You just made another show, didn't you? All right. Well, let me know when we film it. I can't wait to judge. But yeah, no, because that makes perfect. My biggest contention about season 3 in any kind of fashion that I thought there was some kind of controls was seeing Craig go home when it never made sense.
Right. It made sense. He did do 2 bad tattoos. Not bad. They weren't horrible, but they weren't the worst.
But the one that he got sent home for was not bad. It fit the definitions of the challenge.
Right.
And it was only his second time doing bad, when meanwhile, Josh, wasn't that his 4th time being down, right?
Right. Correct. Oh yeah. No, hands down.
So they throw hands out the down. Report cards in this case, just like, when we go back to Melissa Monroe, they throw out the report card, or they use the report card.
Right.
And in this case, they like, and it seemed
that was hard. I don't know if you saw me, like, if you ever watched that episode, you see me get up and I walked out of the room into the other room because I was so freaking upset.
Right.
Because he was my friend, and I thought he just got screwed over. Like, he literally just got screwed because he would have been at the end. You know what I mean? Like, unless he completely faltered, you know, but, you know.
No, I think.
Background. Remember, he was having issues with the backgrounds, like, put a background on. Don't put a background on. Like.
Right. So. Man, his tattoos. My trust in him was with my life.
Yeah.
With my trust with his ability, because I gave him Frank Twinkle Toes Trigg, the MMA fighter. Right. And he was already threatening me. He was like, you better treat me good. And I'm like, yeah, oh yeah, for sure. You get the best. Like, you're not going to be mad about this. If you are.
Me and Frank are buddies now, actually.
Really? He's a referee.
Yeah, he's a ref. He's actually a stunt man. And you know, he was in the Star Wars in Boba Fett, so he's one of the guards.
Oh, that's awesome!
Yeah, the guard with the helmet on. I'm having to sign releases all the time because I'm doing like a sleeve on him and stuff. And so
cool.
He does stuff for cameras, I have to sign the damn release form for the tattoos.
Is that why he's also wearing long sleeves then when he's in the ring?
I don't know if that's why or not. I don't know. Maybe because of blood. He doesn't want to get the blood on himself.
Right. Well, I wonder if they were like, no, we don't want it. It's easier for the lawyers not to have to worry about.
No. For UFC stuff now. I think it's just for films. I just saw one the other day he was in, so.
Man, that's awesome.
He's a cool guy. We go to dinner with him and his wife. You know.
Are you familiar with the other reality show he was on? Have you ever talked to him about that?
No. What was he on?
I'm scared. Like, don't get my ass kicked.
I'm going to fucking text him right now. What is he on?
Talk to him about it. Cause I always wanted first off, I had mad respect for him on there. Maybe that needs to be said first. I just keep on having visions of him standing across the room threatening my life again. Right. But no, he tried to date Mick Jagger's ex-wife, Angie Hall.
Okay.
In a show called Kept Man, where everybody was competing for her love and affection and to have the lavish lifestyle associated with a fashion mogul like herself.
Right.
Meanwhile, I mean, I'm sure it was a lot of produced stuff, but he did a piece of art on there. And he did well. He like did a painting.
Okay.
Have you ever seen him work?
Jack of all trades, man. I'm telling you.
Have you seen him do paintings at all then?
No.
Sailboat captain.
He's sailing boats. It's just crazy. I think I just saw him 2 weeks ago. But they're always like, he's a very short notice. Like, hey, I want to be in town tomorrow. Can I get tattooed? I'm like, no, you can't.
ask him to send you a picture of that painting he did on his reality TV show.
I will.
See if he admits to it. That'll be a next
dinner conversation with him.
I'm sure he isn't embarrassed by it. He used to go in the ring with rainbow colored toenails and all.
Yeah. Oh, he still paints his toenails.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. He does little pedicures all the time, I think. So he follows Instagram. You'll see him doing it. So
he's
still doing the twinkle toes.
Oh, I should probably do the Instagram some days. I have a hard time going past people's shit posts.
Yeah, that's one of the things I wish that I did not have to do.
Look at Instagram.
My personal page. Mm-hmm. I post once every 2 weeks. I'll do the stories because I just don't, they go away in 24 hours. I don't know. I really wish that was not part of our job where you had to do that, because it just takes you out of the present. It takes you out of what you're doing. It's like a job. You have to do it. You know,
yeah.
It's not, I like looking on there sometimes because that's where I see what my friends are doing, I guess. My actual friends, you know, you're like, oh, what are they doing?
Right.
You know, C's like me and C's are pretty good buddies. You know what I mean? So,
good. I didn't know.
We'll go vacation.
He didn't talk about y'all. He never talked. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. I know.
You guys go on vacation together?
Yeah. We went to San Diego, stayed at a beach house and went to the parks and stuff. Like he's always been a good guy to me. And we, during the Canada shows and stuff, we'll always hang out and stuff. And they'll usually stick me and him, and then Jimmy, and then usually, what is his name? I don't ghost me now.
Is he Ink Master as well?
Yeah. Kind of from Colorado. Jesus, I can't believe him.
Is he in Colorado now?
Eric. Is it Eric?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Got the beard and yeah.
Yeah, and the greaser kind of hairstyle.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
He's still got his hair.
Yeah.
Good kid. Yeah. He's always traveling with C's a lot.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He does shows with C's a lot too. Yeah. Circle back, because we didn't go about NFTs too much. I have to say, so this Sunday, May 1st, I don't know when this is coming out, but we aren't launching our project then, but we are doing in the metaverse. I'm doing a live tattoo in the metaverse at this, we call it the Bum Mansion. So you can go there, hang out, and all
in the metaverse. What do I need? VR goggles? What do I do?
You do not.
What is the metaverse? I don't know about it.
I don't know, dude. It's on their Twitter. So if you go to Tattoo Bum NFT, there's a pinned tweet up there that has about what we're doing. There's going to be DJs. They're going to be doing a live Q&A pretty much throughout the day. And then we're just going to kind of talk about our project. So nothing crazy. And then the guy's going to be getting tattooed for 6 hours. Like he's our main moderator for our Discord.
So people can watch that.
Yeah. Just like the old days. That's what I was going to say was,
way your camera system used to be.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. Like it was going to be that cool or not. Cause he's going to come in Saturday and we're going to kind of test it and see where we can put the cameras, where you can actually see. That's what I always hated. You want to see what's getting done. You don't want to.
Yeah.
You don't need a. Yeah.
Look shot, at the tattoo artist back
10 feet away.
Right.
Yeah. So, but it's cool. The NFTs are cool. I'm, you know, Jesse Smith's gonna be involved. Like it's just one of those cool things. I've always liked art. And when people say, what is an NFT? You know, the guy today I'm tattooing, he goes, well, I don't really understand it. I said, it's as simple as this. See this drawing on my iPad? And he goes, yeah. And I said, okay, I just drew that. Do you want to buy it? Yes. Okay, cool. Here you go. That's it. It's a digital piece of art. Keep it that simple. You know what I mean? Like I collect art as myself, and, you know, and I just feel like that's when people make it so hard complex. Or don't understand it. It's just like,
well, yeah, it is more too, though, isn't it? And it? As we're finding, as you're building this community, that's probably part of, is that taking over more of your Instagram time?
It is, and it hurts my Instagram actually, but I do it. You know what I mean? Like that's part of me trying to get it out there, and you know I'm getting ready to do a big email blast to all the Revolt people just to get it, because I've been talking about it for 6 months. You know, my first idea, the NFT, was actually to do the winning drawing from the show. You know what I mean? I have that hanging in the store, and I'm like, that'd be a great first NFT.
But it's best to do this on randomly generated layers, am I right?
Well, you can do one of ones, you can do, you know, in the NFTs now, they can be super low priced or super high priced, you know. And I was trying to make it where something that was, if somebody's a fan of the show, keep it at the price point that a couple hundred bucks and you've got a piece of something that's, you know, that's from there. But yeah, the random generated ones I think are cool because it's including some kind of AI platform where you can, you know, they're actually creating.
And are those ones more expensive then too?
Well, the expense is the hype behind whoever's doing it, or there's utilities now involved where a utility could be a free tattoo, which I'm sure we'll be throwing that in there. Or like my friend's doing one for, so 11 Club in Miami, is they're doing some stuff, and you know, they're having Snoop Dogg, Travis Scott, Diplo, like all these people perform, and that's how big their club is. Like this is a huge club in Miami. So they're doing an NFT for that group, and they're doing only 1,000 NFTs. So it's going to be for the stupid rich people, not stupid and stupid, but stupid rich and like just very rich people are going to buy these expensive NFTs, but they're getting all these perks from buying it from the club. So,
right. Like going to the club.
Yes. Yes.
It's your entrance fee.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to get exclusive access to events and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, a lot of people like on my level, aren't doing that. We don't have the money behind that. Oh, we're giving away our services sometimes, or we're giving away, you know what I mean? Just some cool stuff, but nothing to that extent. So the ones there's some that sold out in hours that are going for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like it's mind blowing.
Have you made strategies for controlling the price at all?
You don't control it. Like that's the good thing, not the good thing, but but you control the base price. So we're going to probably start at 0.1 ETH, which is right now 300 bucks. It was 250 when we came up with the price, but now it's 300 because it's ETH. Ethereum fluctuates. But, you know, so 300 bucks and you get a piece of art and you can print it. You can put it on whatever you want. You can own it.
You own that t-shirt design forever. You can put it on your Christmas card, whatever.
Yeah. So you have to, on our NFT, you have to actually mint. We're going to be including a tattoo machine. So that machine is the key for later on for having the ability to get the cover-ups and to change stuff. So you have to mint both. And the second one is free. The machine is free, but you have to mint it. And some people are going to miss out and not do it, you know.
But you have to mint the NFT tattoo machine.
Correct. And then those two will work together. And whenever the guest artist comes to town, basically that's how you can alter your NFT you have.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it's really cool. Like I said, it hasn't been done.
Puts your character in a universe where even if you can't travel to me to get tattooed, I can tattoo your character.
Kyle, you just said it. You got it.
And then you have that. And that may seem stupid to some. But yeah, you have that. And it's also of the value, hopefully, unless you try to sell it for less than that at some point.
Well, yeah, that's the market dictates the value. You know what I mean? And hopefully, of course, you always want when you buy art, you want it to appreciate and you want it to do stuff. So we are going to offer stuff for what's called staking. So if you stake it, which means you can't sell it, you can't do anything to it for a couple of months, and that'll keep the supply down, and then you'll get rewards for doing that.
You know what I
mean? So
now that's what I think I meant by strategies too, because it seems to me that you also want to have, you want to continually grow your community, because as long as your community has strength or has people involved with it or interest, then then it also has value outside of that community.
Correct. Yeah. You want to sustain it. You want to make it, we've already got like the next two projects. If the first one goes well, we've already have other things that are along the same lines. Like I really wanted to, my friend told me this and he goes, people aren't buying the NFTs for the art. And I'm like, why not? Why can't they buy it for, and I didn't want to put out something that wasn't about me or my community of tattooing. You know what I mean? So that's why it's tattoo bomb. You know what I mean? That's why it has tattoos on them. Anybody can be a bomb, and the price point's not, $100,000. Like not that I could sell it, but you know what I mean? Like that, I want to make it where if you're a fan of the show, if you're a fan of me, if you're a fan of all these artists going to be coming on board, then it's a cool little thing you can have. You know what I mean? So I was trying to make it more about that than I'm going to make a gazillion dollars. You know what I mean? Or
right. Well, that passion though, or that even interest, it seems should pay off more than, I mean, in keeping the value of it high for other people, it would pay, it would pay off more in that, because now there's more interest in your other NFTs.
Yeah. I think the novelty, well, they're all going to work together. Just but the novelty of just knowing that the artists are going to come on board and do more things to the NFT. If we can get that word out and explain it the right way.
Would I be able to then end up getting one tattoo on my on my character? And then he ends up getting yet another tattoo and another tattoo?
That's correct. There's six or seven spots on the body that we have tattoos because it's kind of a side profile. I'll shoot you a text later and show
See
you.
See you guys. Board. I've been watching it.
Yeah, yeah. So there's about six spots you can get tattoos on. And on the same token, some of the guys are going to come heavily tattooed and some of the guys are going to come with no tattoos, or one, like a little small face tattoo or whatever.
No girls. No avatars for girls, huh?
Well, that's
50% of the population.
I know, that's in the works.
Okay.
It's one of those things, like you collect a sausage tattoo, you can collect a Kyle Dunbar tattoo, you can collect a Jackie Smith tattoo, hopefully Jimmy jumps on board. Like, you know what I mean? All these,
yes.
And then you can rotate them out. Like, you know what I mean? You can get the chest piece from you. You can get the arm sleeve from Sausage. Like,
I like this idea a lot because I know that this is also similar to where video games are going to go. I play video games, Call of Duty. And if their characters were NFTs, then you would have something that you could build and grind. You know what I mean? You could work towards improving it with skills or achievements or even just putting more money down on it. And then eventually, if you wanted to, you could sell it for a value,
Right, right.
As opposed to all the time that I waste playing games online, meaning nothing. I could finally be like, no, honey, this is important.
This is I'm just going to make this up. So like I said, I don't know all about NFTs. So I'm just going to kind of say this, but let's just say there's the 10,000 pieces, 10,000 NFTs, and you're the fourth guy that comes through as far as the guy that's going to, the guest artist coming to town. Let's say only 10 fucking people want a Kyle Dunbar tattoo.
Oh, fuck. I hate them. Listen,
10 people.
Yes.
1 year from that fact, if a minor amount only get it, that makes your shit more rare than all the people that got the other tattoos because there's only 10 of them.
All right.
So it makes it more valuable.
So my tragedy one day will be my future triumph.
Exactly. Like that's what these trait hunters and that's what They want the ones that are the 0.01% of the NFT. The
well, now, then also, I would hope this is would be a possibility. I wouldn't know, but this would be a fun one. If then you had a unique collection on your NFT of different artists, then that would also make it rare.
Yeah. You could be the guy that every time that somebody came to town, you did well. You there's only six spots. There's only you could have six different artists on you, and then there might be seven spots. But without with that being said, even like sunglasses, a hat, there's things that you can collect.
Riding like, crop.
Right? Well, the background. So we call the you know if you've seen our NFT the bum, there's a circle and we call it the scene. So whatever scene is behind the circle. You know, I got a Vegas one. I've got like a mountains one. We've got a city one, you know, all the tattoo shop, like flash wall, like all these different ones, but you can do that one too. So you didn't have to be just a tattoo. You could have a flash wall of.
Now, whatever. Ideally, each time you add these attributes to your NFT, then you would be paying an amount, but also since there was another minting process and there would be a change, you would be adding value to that NFT. Is that correct?
That's correct. You're going to make it more rare because if you're getting rid of traits, that's also making those traits less. Like if there was 100 of them, then now there's 99. Now there's 98 that had that one particular trait. So, and then you're adding the new trait. So it's going to be cool. Like the guy just explained it. Like whenever you're are getting ready to merge the two, or you're going to get ready to do your, we're calling it a tattoo session. You'll have drop down menus and you can physically pick. But you can only do two. You can't do more than that. We're not, you know, you can't change your whole thing, but we're letting you do two things at one time. So you can take off something or you can add two tattoos. You could take off two things. If your guy's got a hat on, but you can tell he's got a cool haircut, you take his hat off. You know what I mean?
Okay. So, right. So you can take his clothes off.
Yes.
You can,
right. We're going to get some nipple rings. We're going to get one of those Sinead O'Connor from the nose to the nipples and
right. Now I'm wondering if they're going to, I mean, these could also be done in 3D. I would almost assume, would you get any of the models on your Procreate yet where you can turn the model and then you can also place like a tattoo on the model and then move it up and down.
Yeah.
It's not the cleanest technology, but it's fucking interesting as shit. And it helps you kind of plan some stuff out, you know? But I would wonder if that's also where we're going to end up with, where we could have a 3D tattoo bum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's you know, in the metaverse. They're building avatars right now. So we'll see how that looks. It was funny because I went on the metaverse the other day because
what does that consist of? Is it not? It's like a video.
It's like a video game. It looks like a video game. Like I literally was on my phone, I think, and it just looks like a video screen. And but you could move around, and it's and then you kind of push your body out. Like you know, there's different views. And mine was like one of those wooden drawing dolls because I didn't do anything to it.
You know? Okay. Yeah.
So I'm just this guy standing there like with a wooden drawing doll, and everybody else got their full avatars all dressed up with wings and whatever else. And
yeah, they look at the newbie.
Yeah. Hey, there's a wood guy.
That's why I like it, man. It's original. You guys are the weird ones.
Right. I'm gonna burn some wood tattoos on mine.
People are going to be able to get their wood guy and then they trek on down to Revolt Tattoos.
Yeah, right.
And they watch you tattoo, right? How does this work? How do you do a tattoo of the metaverse? Like, are they just seeing then a video of you tattooing?
Yes, correct. So, okay. Like I said, tonight, like just take 2 seconds, go on there and you'll see it's on the Twitter, you'll see the mansion. And on the mansion, there's already NFT art hanging on the wall, like not just ours, but other people that are supporting us. Other like Jesse's got one in there. There's some stuff like that. But basically, it's like there's gonna be two video monitors inside of there also, besides the areas you can dance around with and do whatever you're gonna do. But there's like, just like you're watching the video screen inside of a video screen, if that sounds right.
Yeah.
You're watching a video screen, but you're seeing another video screen. There'll be two video options. You can watch a live DJ.
It's what makes me know we live in a simulation, man.
Yeah.
It's how much we all love simulations. Now we're going to simulations inside of simulations.
Yeah.
I do the same in Call of Duty, dude, that you can go off and play a video game on Call of Duty inside of the video game.
Oh, no different. Yeah, that's no different.
Same difference.
I was going to ask you, because I've never heard you talk about it, but about UFOs and stuff. And I know this is like off tangent, but that's what your show is called. But
yeah,
and the only reason I bring it up is because
you had experience.
No, I haven't.
Okay,
but I mean, I do believe in them. There's got to be other things out there. There's just no way there's not. But so have you seen Bob Lazar on UFOs? Seen it on Netflix? You seen that?
No, I have to watch it.
So yeah, good. He was on Joe Rogan, and I was actually with the Sanderson people in Utah, and the guy looks at me like out, like point blank, out of the nowhere, and goes, "You heard of this, Joe Rogan?" I was like, "No." So I listened to it on my drive back from Salt Lake, and I was like, "Holy shit!" So I watched a Netflix series the next day, and you know, and then you know how we are. You see something, and that's what you talk about while you're texting,
right?
You know, so, Yeah, this is probably a couple of years ago. This is all happening, but it's kind of been evolving throughout this time. But so I tattoo this guy, and I talk about it. Like, oh, you seen this? Oh no, cool. You know, so and I'm doing a sleeve on him. So he comes back, and he goes, "Oh, it'd be kind of funny, but you know, my wife is a therapist, and she actually works on people from S4, which is an inside part of Area 51." And I'm like going, okay, no way. You know what I mean? So fast forward another session. Okay, cool. So she talked to people from there and they're confirming all the things he's saying, you know, type of thing. And then fast forward another time. And it's just like, it just keeps growing and growing and growing where it's literally like, you know, the guy's like vomiting like all this stuff on her of like, oh yeah, there's a base on Mars. I've met an alien that's 5,000 years old, like just like all this stuff.
There is a base on Mars.
That's what the guy was saying to her. Like, this is all hearsay, you know.
But is that what the guy on the Joe Rogan show Netflix also said?
That's what my friend's wife was working on somebody from that area. And that
but they're also crazy people from that area.
Well, so fast forward to like a couple months ago, and they actually came back in, and I was talking to the lady directly this time, and I'm just like, I can't wait to like sit down and have you sit here while we're talking, you know, while I'm tattooing.
Yeah.
And she was just like, oh, I just can't wait to tell you all this stuff. And she goes, the crazy part is now that I've been working on multiple people from that area, and you know, it's all segmented. You can't work like two people work on one project and nobody knows each other. You know what I mean? All this stuff like that. That's how they worked. Very compartmentalized. So, but she goes, I work on multiple people and they all have the same story. So I just thought that was kind of crazy. Like you know, not that this conversation would go anywhere, but I just find it fascinating.
Fuck yeah.
You know, I find it fascinating that it's out there like that. You know, in our business of our profession of tattooing people, we get to meet so many people and hear so many stories of different things. You know what I mean? So I
just met Papa Shango, or other people might know him as the Godfather, the wrestler, a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And Darren McCarty, the Red Wings hockey player. Yeah. And who else was that I got to meet? I didn't really meet him. I was a pussy about it. But Peter Dante was there, or Dante Peters, the dude from Grandma's Boy. Anyway, he was doing 50. Dude, you could pay $50 and he would smoke a bong hit with you.
Well, my little piece, I got to meet Flash Gordon. And he was.
Oh,
I was like fan. I was like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing ever. You know, Flash
Gordon. Yeah, the guy from Ted.
yes. Yeah. So, you know.
Or otherwise known as Flash Gordon. Yeah.
But he actually came to we were doing a fan. A tattoo convention at a comic book thing, and this last year in Vegas, and And he was set up around the corner, and he came over and hung out, and he was like, "Oh, I just met Derb Morrison last weekend, and over there." Yeah, so it was just great, like this full circle little thing. And he's just like, "Oh, I like
does that he get too. Tattooed?"
I don't think he does, but he was talking about it. You know, he's like, "Oh, I think I could get one." You know,
type of dude. Thing. I'm really surprised how many people watch our show. Like famous people, like Darren McCarty, a legend, a hockey legend.
Yeah, I was at Frank Trigg's wedding, and it was Randy, and it was like the referee guy McCarthy, and then
Big John,
and you know Big John's
daughter tattoos.
Yes, yeah. So I walk up to those guys, you know, like I'm like the only non MMA guy because I went to Frank's wedding,
right?
I'm like standing there. And Randy goes, "Man, I love your shit, bro." And I'm just like, "What? Wow. You're Randy fucking Couture, you know?"
Wow.
I mean? So it is like, yeah, it is like you're saying, like the everyday person, we're like, "Oh, I don't want to take a picture," but man, it's so cool when somebody, you know.
Yeah, honestly, I still got to come back off that. I love taking pictures because it also, I've already learned this a long time ago. I've got the right amount of fame, kind of.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
imagine you do too. Like, I can still use a public bathroom without everybody on it. You know, Dave Navarro explained that he can't use public bathrooms anymore, and I was like, "Well, that's probably too much fame."
Yeah,
but
yeah, I could not imagine. I couldn't imagine like Oliver and Chris's. You know what I mean? Like, if you're on the season every year, like you are, like that's, it's like walking down the road with Clint. I remember that, like, I went to South by Southwest. They had us come out there, and I tattooed in a glass box while Snoop Dogg was playing in another room. You know what I mean? Like, it was like some crazy, like Jägermeister had us out there or something. And it was me and Clint, and I couldn't even go down the street, and nobody knew the fuck I was. But Clint was like, "Clint, oh my God, it's Clint," you know? So
I miss him. Clint Cummings, you mean then, right?
Yeah, yeah, buddy. He's, you know, he's such a good guy.
Yeah,
I thought he was going to beat it, you know.
Oh man, we were hoping.
You know,
that's why I also like to take pictures of people, right? Because one, I'm in a part of their day now, and like I'm alive a little longer, as long as those servers are still there, you know. Right. At least
that's one
on
thing
the day that I die. There'll be pictures of me everywhere. Oh, everybody be dredging up pictures of, "Hey, there's Kyle with bald ass head, fucking shining in the light."
Do you shave your head?
Actually, I did now, but it's been getting to where I take photos. Maybe it's just me looking at it, but I got such a highlight.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
That exactly I was like, know what
you're saying. When the light's too bright on your fucking head, I know what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Like, I got a halo there. I can see through it, and I got the principle going on.
Yeah.
And so I shaved it off. I went Brittany, but just so I can try and get the Rogaine going again. Now, the problem is,
I'll tell you right now,
I met my wife. Mm-hmm.
Go do the chromosome stuff.
What's that?
So, you know, do you know what PRP is?
No.
Okay, so PRP is plasma, whatever. I don't even know. Just Google PRP, and they take your
own blood. My wife probably is right now.
Yeah, they take your blood, they spin it, and then they shoot it back into your own head to simulate the hair growth.
Okay.
Okay. So now they have a one-upper of that, which is the DNA stuff. There's no DNA in it, so the chromosomes, and they take chromosomes from stem cell, or they take stem cells and they shoot it into your head, and it will make your hair grow like a bush. Like, no joke. Like, I've done it one time, and I'm like, oh yeah,
and it worked.
It is working. It is
right.
It is not cheap, but it's working, you know. And I luckily, you know, because I'm Joey Hamilton. Just kidding.
Yeah,
I got a deal.
You got a deal?
Yeah, I got a deal. So, but I
do you have to shoot a commercial for him where you're like, I'm not telling you about this. I'm also a client.
No, yeah, no. But, you know, it worked. Like, it's definitely, like, I've got the one of my artists was joking. It's like, "Oh, you got the Friar Tuck going on." You know, trying to jab me as much. And I'm like, "Get the fuck out of here." So, you know, but
you
I do.
You
see it, and then, you know, I like my hair, so I don't want it to go away. So I just was looking and looking and looking, and then I found, it's like, I was using Rogaine and stuff too. But
did that make your hair itch or anything?
No, I mean, sometimes people get red scalps and all that stuff. I didn't really find mine too.
Yeah.
I thought my thinking wasn't as clear. I'm just kidding. Because <that's laughs> it's supposed to kind of affect that too. If you didn't know that, I think that that's one of the side effects is that.
Are you kidding me?
I don't. I think I read that one somewhere. So I was like, well.
So it's just another excuse for me, really, at this point.
but I just did it probably about a month ago on the stem cell one. And, man, I'm telling you, like, not that my hair is like a bush, but you can see my hair, you know, you can see.
And it's going to grow more probably from that. They figure.
It's supposed to be four treatments, and I only did one. So if you know.
Did you already pay for all four?
No,
I didn't.
I did the PRP because I thought it was way cheaper for one, but the other one, like the lady quoted me $8,000, but I was ugh. I was like, I can't chunk that out. So and she charged me, you know, some money, and I just did one and just to see it. And I was like, yeah, that works. So if I can get a super disc, like 10% rate, but one of my guys just did the one where they plucked the hairs out. And they put him to the front, and he gained like an inch in the front of his hairline. No joke. Like, I was like, holy shit, that worked. So,
how much did that cost?
It was $12,000 for that. So,
jeez. Well, he should have just done the PRP, though, no?
Right. Well, I don't think the PRP, it works as good.
Wait, then he should have done the stem cells.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I think that one, if you can get it, you know, it's still like a new technology. Mm-hmm. And I say new enough. Like I know people that they'll do the stem cell IVs. They'll do stem cell.
Well, I don't have a centrifuge, but I can take my own blood. I got needles and then I got tattoo needles. What if I just spin around in circles with some blood in a cup and then
pour it on my face?
Yeah. I'll just tattoo it in my head.
Yeah. Well, that's what they call blood facials. Like that's the same thing. They take the blood and they smear it all over your face.
See, you're out there in Vegas, man. You're up on the cusp of this stuff. I'm guessing then, huh? I'm not familiar with a blood facial.
No, that's a lot of girls do that. It's the same thing as the PRP, but they just take the blood and they smear it on your face. It's supposed to
and then they tattoo it in you microneedles or
I don't think so, but yeah, microneedling is something too when you see somebody getting microneedled in the face.
I love that because I always like to think about some of the things we do, especially in the pursuit of money or beauty. I like to think about it through like alien eyes, like if there are aliens that we were talking about a moment ago, what they think of people that get their blood taken out of them and rubbed on their face. And there's like, it's a thing. They apparently these people need to rub their own blood on their face.
The Vikings did it all the time back in the day, right?
Yeah, they did it with the blood of their victims.
Right. Or a sacrifice, not a victim, sacrifice.
I don't know. It just seems a little morbid sometimes.
Yeah.
But I try not to think about it because then it makes me want to think I need to stop eating meat or something. I did stop eating octopus. That's my only thing now, I think. No more octopus.
Grilled or like, what do you mean? Like
no octopus. I just won't eat. They're too calamari? Smart. Okay. They're too smart. Yeah. I eat squid. Yeah, squid. That's what I'm telling you. Squid, fuck them little bastards of the sea. Them octopus, they're aliens, man. They're from another planet or something. Sentient beings.
They're the ones that are deep diving in the. You've seen the UFO videos where they're like going along and then just plunge right in the water.
A UFO that does that?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to get some of its brethren.
Right.
That's what them octopus are just waiting for the aliens to pick them up. They're like trying to figure out a way to make a radio. What was
Hollywood's prepping us. I said Hollywood's prepping us for all the real alien shit coming. I always loved that. I love the memes.
Is that a theory that you go with or that they do?
Oh, no, I don't know. I'm just talking. It's late. Well, I'm rambling. But
it might be, right? So like
if you never know.
If there are these aliens, is it really that hard to tell people?
I think if they said it now, like it's almost.
Yeah, when most people are like, duh.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, and they live among
Jeremy
you.
Jeremy Corbell, is that his name? I follow that guy because he's one of the ones that's always putting out stuff that's from the government. Not like he's not generating stuff. He's like, here's something from the government that's was shot from the airplane. You know what I mean? And you could see the, you know, it's very interesting to watch that. If you haven't seen it, like, go watch the Netflix thing I was talking about, like the UFO one, Bob Lazar and UFOs, because he explains UFOs, how they move, because he was hired to work on the propulsion system to reverse engineer it. And he was saying it was anti-gravity. So that's why they have the ping pong effect. Like the ball, it just goes in any which way, and there's no linear propulsion. You know what I mean? So it's
kind of cool to watch it. Most of the times I'm scared to open up the wormhole to end up watching some kind of ancient alien stuff.
Right.
There's just been a few things about that I mean, I can only take so much of it, I guess. I can watch it, but it's like they always propose. Have you seen Curse of Oak Island as well?
Oh, I was thinking of that when you said that, because it's always like, what if? Yeah.
Yes.
I haven't watched any of the alien stuff. I only watched documentary.
They do the same thing on that, you know, and I was scared to open up that wormhole. Anytime I see a UFO show on Netflix, I'm just like, it's probably them. It's probably them people.
This is the real deal. Like, it's, like he's on Rogan too, like on a podcast. It was pretty cool to listen to.
Must be real deal.
Yeah. Well, he was talking about an element that was not on the elemental chart back in the day. And he was like saying, okay, so this element is what they were working on. And now that element's on the elemental chart. So there's a lot of little things like that. And then he mentions it in the documentary while they're filming. And then the next day he gets raided by like 6 different agencies because he's talking about it while they're filming.
Ooh, really?
Yes.
What's the name of this show?
Bob Lazar and UFOs.
Bob Lazar. I might have to watch it tonight now. I mean, it sounded interesting to me where I was looking for stuff to watch.
Yeah.
And what is it? Married at First Sight. It's getting old now. The good couple's gone already.
Oh, dude, I'll tell you, one of my guilty pleasures is damn 90 Day Fiancé.
it's good so to bad. Have other people's troubles in front of you sometimes, sir.
Well, my wife is Russian, so... Mm-hmm. It's like her mom actually moved in with us.
So you guys understand completely because she married your hideous ass so that she could get a passport. Is that what you're saying?
No, she's over here. She was here when she was 3. So, but her mom just moved in with us too. So now I've got like an off the boat, like she's the hardcore Russian babichka, you know, where she's
awesome.
Joe, make light, you know, turn on the light.
So did you watch all the,
90
it's
days.
Not Married at First Sight. Yeah, 90 Day Fiancés.
Not all of them, but I've seen. Okay. Like, we did. You know, we did.
Have you seen ones that make the memes?
Yes, I've seen.
Those are the only ones I've seen.
Yeah.
Right on. I feel like I don't watch that as often because I feel like I understand that dynamic a bit more than the dynamic of Married at First Sight.
Yeah,
because Married at First Sight makes no sense almost, or it's just like a bunch of people that are just like, I think I'm gonna let MTV producers pick my mate, you know, that'll be good, that'll be entertaining.
And there's someone that on there, though, there's someone that on there when they're like, oh, I met their girl for 7 hours, but you know, they say that in person, but you know, you've had relationships with people where. You could talk to them on the phone or something every day and you get to know that person. Doesn't mean if you see them face to face, you know what I mean? You could make any connection with any human that way. So I could see that where like, oh, I haven't seen him in 2 years, but I talk to him every day. So yeah, you know, the ins and out of that person. So, but they make it seem like, oh, I've only seen him for 7 hours and that's it, but we're getting married. You know,
and they're crazy for it. Yeah. Well, but do many of them work out on that show then?
You know, I would say it's probably 30%, maybe something around
which there. for marriages really isn't bad, because isn't it like 20% for marriages already?
Some of the ones you think that aren't gonna work out actually, and they're still together, and some that you think, wow, that's a good couple, and then they're just like, next you know, they're like, yep. They split up.
Have you seen Married at First Sight then?
I have not, I've not
right seen on. It. I don't know. I think I like to watch other people's relationships spiral downwards or something. It's a terrible sadistic part about me that makes me as bad as any Ink Master fan that would like, I love the critique part where they just destroy you guys.
Right. I know.
Oh, sad part of my identity.
That part, yeah. The critiques was a hard pill to swallow sometimes because the talent level of the people critiquing you like when Nico's were critiquing me, I'm like going, okay, I get it. You know what I mean? I can see, he could see what I can do. But, right. but when Nunez critiques you, you're kind of like, you know, I used to hear stories that the other contestants would take, you know, screenshots of his drawing or his tattoos.
Yeah, it happened once.
And they would go up and show him like, well, dude, you're not that good. So how can you be telling me this? But then somebody else will point it later. Well, just because he can't tattoo that good doesn't mean he can't see it.
Gotcha. Right.
You know,
well, so, the thing of that, though, gets to be the point where they're making sound bites because they're shooting for just that sound bites.
Right. Of course.
They're not trying to convince us or show us what's better. They're trying to get a couple of words that they know will be on and the editor can work right. with. And in the process of that, they kind of have to get a little personal sometimes.
Yeah.
And that makes me think, why the fuck didn't I ask you more about Inked? Because a long time ago, there was a show called Miami Ink. And it was pretty much the first show ever about
tattoos. It wasn't. Inked was the first show.
Was it?
Yes.
Inked was prior to Miami Ink.
Yes, it was. Inked season one, which I was not on, was on before Miami Ink. Miami, and then Inked was on, and then Miami Ink came out, and then I came out to Vegas. I was getting divorced.
To try out for the show or
no,
what?
No, okay. I was getting divorced, and I was just like, it was like right.
That's the place to go for a divorce.
No, I'd never been there. Like, I've been all over the world. Like, I've traveled everywhere, military, done everything like that stuff. So I was like, what's one place I haven't been? And then I was big into playing poker. So I literally was like, me and my buddy were like, let's go to Vegas for a month. My brother's ex-girlfriend lived here in Vegas. She's like, come stay with me. I got a room you guys can stay in for a month. And I'm like, so I brought my tattoo stuff. And I'm like, well, I was tattooing like 3 days a week. And just, we were playing poker every night, like all freaking night. Like just having fun, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and Inked was on. So I was like, I'm going to go into that shop and see if I can do a guest spot. I own my own shop in Florida, you know? And I kind of was like, hey, can I do a guest spot? They're like, nope, we don't do that shit here. And I'm like, okay. And then, but then the guy goes, well, you could try out and be on the show if you want. I'm like, what do you mean? And he goes, well, we're getting ready to start season two. And I'm like, okay. And then I was like, nah, I don't want to do that. So, cause I had my own shop. I had my own house.
Right.
I wasn't like looking to move.
Whole life.
Yeah. And then, so that was like my first week here. Second week here, my buddies back and forth, like, well, at least try out, you know, who knows? And I'm like, okay, I guess. So I went in there and talked to them, and they're like, okay, yeah, cool. Come here tomorrow, whatever, we'll talk to you. So I went and talked to them, and then the first interview was okay. And then it just kept ping ponging. They were like, oh, we like you. You seem like you could be worked out. And then another guy interviewed me and was like, you suck. You're not interesting. You have no charisma, like nothing. I'm like, okay, cool. Whatever. I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Right. Whatever you want to do. And then the third time, oh man. Then I start talking about like my nightlife in Vegas, and their ears perked up, and they're like, holy shit. Okay. This guy's got a life going on, you know? So I literally, the last day I'm in Vegas, I'm getting ready to go back through Oklahoma, visit my dad, go back down to Florida. They call me and they're like, are you still in town? I'm like, yeah, I'm leaving tomorrow. And they're like, well, you start tomorrow. And I'm like, no fucking way. So, but this is what I mean about fate. So about a week before that, I'm driving down the strip, which the strip is wide. You know, you can't really go side by side in cars going the opposite way. There's only a couple spots in town you can do that. I'm driving down by where it's Clean's new shop now, but down in that area, and they're side by side. You can go both ways, and you're really just a couple feet apart. I look over, and a kid I played poker with in Florida that would come to my house games all the time was driving his car. And I'm like, Tommy fucking Paradise. I was like, what are you doing? And I yell at him, and we pull over. And he goes, I just moved to Vegas. I'm the GM of Bonefish Grill. I'm like, no fucking way. And I was like, well, I'm trying out for the show. Maybe, you know, if I get it, we could be roommates. And exactly, I mean, like, just things get put in my path that I feel like that it's fate or it's something that's just intervening and helping me with my life. You know what I mean?
God?
Yeah, it could be God. You know,
okay.
I believe in that there's a God. There's got to be something up there. You know, like I said, we tattoo so many people, and I've heard so many stories. And, you know, I lost my brother about 2 years ago, and I had a lot of comfort in tattooing people.
Okay.
And hearing their stories.
Because they're lost too?
Between losses and then between people passing on and coming back. I heard a couple of good stories about that. Like they were
coming
like,
back to life.
Yeah.
Jesus like Christ style.
Well, not dead for days, but in the sense like technically dead. And then
okay.
like
yeah.
this lady, like the guy was like, my grandmother's passed away a couple times and she came back. She'd come back and just, and she would say, know the comfort that there is something afterwards. And that, you know, she said, I don't want to tell everybody about it. And I don't want to go out preaching about it because if everybody knew how good it was, people
would kill themselves.
Exactly. So that's why she didn't say it to anybody.
Well, what if you don't go there when you kill yourself?
Right. Well, that's funny you say that, because there was a post by an artist I know, a tattoo artist, that said he went, same thing, but he said he went to hell. He literally says, I went to hell, and it was fucking horrible.
Really?
And that's what he said in his post on social media. So, you know, whatever. But yeah, so it's kind of crazy to think that they're, you know, and circling back to the UFOs. So I asked the lady, I said, I hope in my time that something gets figured out, that we see something or know something. And she says, don't look at it that way, because time is not circular. It's linear. It never, or is whatever way she said it's circular.
Time's not linear. It's circular.
Not linear. Yes. Okay. Yes. She goes, it never fucking ends. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, it's all these little stories get put into our laps that you can take it for what it's worth. You know what I mean?
I think I've been waiting for a long time. I mean, I feel like, of course, there's life on other planets. They might have an ability to contact this world in some fashion. I don't know why they would hide it from us so much, or like the big secret parts that everybody else. And I guess, moreover, I know it ain't affecting my life. Right. You know, I'm pretty small right. until the it comes down like a fucking, you know, ship that's going to enslave us all. Like, oh fuck. And even then we're like, what was I supposed to do? Get an arsenal together or something? I'll right. be all right with my new alien overlords. I'll try to impress them, do some tricks, be like, you know, look at me, I can juggle. Isn't that fun?
Right.
Don't right. kill me.
Well, that's kind of the same with like the war going on now. Like, how much is it affecting our life really? So it's
the Ukrainian war
face. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, right. And it's just sad. Like, there's whole countries getting demolished, and yes. because it's not affecting us directly in a sense, besides, you know, shit costing more. It's like we're not, as a society, not addressing it like we should be. But who the fuck
knows? You feel that we should be over there fighting?
I don't know, man. I don't like to get into that part of it because I don't know.
Right.
You know, of course, like could it draw us into some nuclear war? Fuck yeah, it could. And yep. is that what I want? No, it's not. No. I would like the shit to get resolved. You know,
it'd be
like,
nice if people weren't dying.
We don't want our kids growing up in this society where this is common. Like, it's just, we've been at war fucking so long. You know, so
when you were in service, did you do any wartime then?
I did multiple tours over there, but I never really saw any. You know, the closest thing, a Scud hit within like a mile of where I was at, which is like, that's little missiles they would just shoot to go bomb shit. But
right.
I was in Desert Storm. Like, I was there for maybe 3 to 6 months before the war even started. We were stuck in a hangar in Saudi. But I've been all over Saudi, Kuwait, Egypt, Turkey. Like, it just rambles. Like, I've been all over. Like,
you tattoo when you're over there at all?
I did, like, my last year in, I started my, the guy that taught me, I've been to, this is funny. So the guy that taught me how to tattoo was an ammo guy. So he was an ammo guy in the military. And my friend was like, hey, you should just meet this guy. He's a tattoo artist too. And I'm like, cool. And he said, yeah, I'll teach you. And he'd been tattooing 6 fucking months, you know? So he had no right teaching me, especially back then, like 25 years ago, like no right to teach me shit. But he got me Mickey Sharps right off the bat. Like, he got me all this
nice
stuff. But yeah, my last year in, I was doing tours in Italy. So I'd go to Italy for like 3 months at a time. And I shit you not, I was getting tattooed. He gave me a tattoo, like my second tattoo ever. and we were supposed to go on this trip together, and we both had all of our tattoo shit, and I was going to start tattooing people. Like, I'd only tattooed maybe a handful of people. And he goes, he stays up all night after he tattoos me, and he misses the plane to go to that trip. So here I am with all my tattoo shit. So I just start tattooing people.
wait, let me see if I understand. He missed his plane to go on the trip that you both were going
to
go on?
Yes, we were supposed to both go on this trip over to Italy.
Okay.
On the same plane, but he missed the plane.
But not with you were in the Air Force, right?
Yeah. We both were in the Air Force, and we're both like going to what's called TDY. So you go,
okay,
your group, your squadron goes over there and does a job over there at another base, like support or do whatever, you know.
Right.
So we were going over there, and we had both packed all of our tattoo stuff, and he was gonna help me, you know, learn.
So when you get over there, you got all of his work to do too. Is that what I'm getting?
Well, no, it's like we were just going to start saying, hey, who wants free tattoos? Or who wants tattoos for like $50, $100?
You weren't setting appointments at that point in your career.
Yeah, no.
I thought maybe you had his appointments to do.
I was not booked out.
But you still decided to do it.
Last year, last year. And the first shop I got hired at, there's probably 15 guys that went in and out within a year. So I was I was doing portraits like within a couple of months. Like I was just like getting thrown into the wolves. You know what I mean? So it's crazy. Wow. I look back now, like that's why I'm probably not afraid to do anything. It's because I've always had that I've always worked in tourist shops that were like, you're up, what are you doing? Let's get it done. You know? So,
but you learned overseas then?
Well, somewhat. I did 3 months, so I probably knocked out like 50 tattoos, and then I came back and got a job at my first shop I worked at, Splash of Color, and then
Splash of Color, not here in Michigan.
Oh, is there? No, there was. It was like a little street shop next to I think it was Domino's, right next door. The back was a screen printing shop, and the front was a tattoo shop.
Okay, what state?
In Florida, in Fort Walton.
Okay, right on.
So
that's right where Handlebar Clark's at, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I actually tattooed his fiance or something before, like in that shop, like way back then.
Okay.
Yeah. So before he was tattooing, of course, and all that stuff, and he's actually like the big area guy in the area now, I think. I feel like I need to go back there now. I don't know why.
Oh yeah, you need to stomp on his area a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's my area. Motherfucker just moved in. But actually, so my brother still lives in Destin, so I've always considered going back there after I get done with here. So we'll see.
Okay, Destin's right around Fort Walton then.
Yeah, it's like literally they're connecting towns. Like
they say, when you get done there, what do you got to do in Vegas? What's left to conquer?
You know, nothing. Honestly,
you got two houses to sell. That sure has to happen.
Yeah. I always take when people like when you told me about the shot. Like I always take people when they tell me stuff. I remember like little snippets of stuff. And my buddy Jim Perlman was an amazing tattoo artist back in Florida. And you know, he's like, I looked up to him when I first started tattooing, and he was like, "Don't go to Vegas. Don't go to Vegas because it's gonna chew you up. And it's, you know, it's a rough town and all this stuff."
Yeah.
You know, and I think the same thing. I just got lucky to be in that shop. And, you know, I didn't get caught up in all the Vegas stuff, you know, with other shops and stuff.
You so, didn't do meth. You still got all your teeth.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, there's some people I've met. Yeah. Drugs are bad everywhere. So, you know.
Right.
But
there it's prevalent. That's often probably what a lot of the people mean when they say that town will chew you up.
Yeah.
It's like you can get everything way too easy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's, you know, as far as my goals, I've always had goals as a person and as a business owner, as an artist. And, you know, my first goal was like, hey, I want to be known in Florida. I started doing all the Florida tattoo conventions and trying to win awards. And, you know, one of my best stories ever is when Dino Cook's doing my mom and dad's portrait on my arm this magazine comes by and goes, Dino, we got to get an interview with you in a little bit, you know, when you get done. Oh yeah, sure, whatever. And then my friends would come up, because I brought like 8 guys to enter shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how we're
You're flood. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're local. You got to flood that one.
Yo, you just won an award. Yo, you just won an award. And then he's kind of perking his ears up like, what? And then I started winning portrait awards. So right. He was like really perking up.
And he's and a portrait
magazine
artist.
People come back. Yeah. The magazine people come back and they go, hey, Joey, we need to get an interview with you when you get done. So that's probably one of my, you know, that's a fucking awesome moment in my career to say,
right.
That, you know what I mean, to have that accolades along. And then Dino, we became friends. He came and tattooed my other portrait in my living room, of my house. He came and stayed there. And, you know, it's just cool. These friendships you get out of this stuff. But get back to my the goal stuff. I don't fucking know. It's, you know, 25 years in, I would say that I feel proud of myself, and I don't want to I'm not trying to toot my own horn,
right?
But I'm proud of myself for what I've accomplished before the show, after the show. You know what I mean? I feel like that I'm building something that goes both ways. It is a business, but it is also
bisexual.
It's helping out other artists. You know what I mean? Like, it's helping other artists out, and it's like something that people know they can go to work and have a good time and not, you know, it's not stressful. It's not like,
right. It's symbiotic. It's not parasitic.
You gotta be fucking working every fucking 2 seconds. You know what I mean? But I just feel like it's a good thing. And my goal before was to get to a certain point, and then now I'm right at that goal. And now it's like, okay, what do I do next? You know what I mean? Because I don't want to tattoo. I can't tattoo 6 days a week. I've been doing it too long already.
That is what you're doing currently, though, you were saying, right?
Yeah. And I need to stop. Like, my neck is jammed up. Got a huge cyst in my fucking wrist. And it's like, you know, I love tattooing and I enjoy it. I love like going in.
Right.
But I just can't. It's just like me getting juked out with a basketball. You realize at some point, you can't do it anymore.
It's a young man's game.
Yeah, you can't do it like your brain is saying you can do it. You know,
but you were on another show as well, and then there's the best thing. And sometimes not everything's produced well enough or whatever. I don't know why Hart and Huntington didn't stick around. Probably didn't build enough star power by having return artists.
I'll tell you what it was this is what I've heard, was that he was wanting to basically not franchise it, but he had investors, and that he wanted them. There was a 2-season deal. The third season, he wanted them to go to Cabo and to Hawaii. Like, he had investors in Hawaii and in Cabo, and he wanted the film to be, or the show to be filmed in those two spots. Like, basically move it away from Vegas, show that he's expanding. And not really, they asked me if I want to go to Cabo, but I was like, no, I just started dating my wife. I was like, right. I don't want to leave. And
did that stress the actors off. Then?
Okay. Yeah, it didn't. Well, the artists, nobody.
Artists, yeah.
Yeah. It was not like that. But they were stressing the artists, but they had moved. So Dizzle was supposed to go. And they brought in a couple new guys, and they were just going to have a new kind of crew. But I heard that that's what kind of he wanted it that way. And they were like, no, this is working. Keep it here.
Right.
And he was like, no. And then they just could not agree on anything. And that was it. You know, for a year, they kept saying, we're getting picked up by somebody else or whatever. And, you know.
So they must be then the network that was carrying it,
right? Then, you know, A&E was the one carrying it, and they just could not see eye to eye. But the, you know, I don't know what the numbers were,
even though he had his own investors.
Well, yes, he had investors in opening more stores.
Well, I can see that. That makes more sense.
They were making so much money on merch, it was ridiculous.
Best Ink itself didn't do so hot as compared to Ink Masters, and I think the producers definitely helped out there, you know. I'm guessing
I almost was on that show. I was.
Really? Was that what did you try out for that instead of at the same time or with the same casting?
Before. So season two or three was right before season three of Ink Master. And okay. I went out there and I tried out and I did well. You know what I mean? They were like, I literally got the phone call that there's 20 people left and that you're 99% on the show.
And then, oh, wow.
Yeah. I was like, so I cleared my schedule, did all this shit. And then I would hear from them every couple of days. And then they stopped. And about a week and a half went by and I called them. I said, what's going on? And they said, oh, well, I think that they are not going to use you. And I'm like, no way. So I kind of had a bad take because that process was a lot harder than Ink Master was. So I wasn't like fiending to go back and try out.
Right. But and that Sausage, casting agency wasn't the same. They didn't forward it on or anything.
Right, right. So Sausage was me and I got talked into going to Ink Master tryout, actually. So me and Sausage and a guy, Chris Garcia, all from the same shop, were like, let's just make a road trip out to L.A. because you had to go to L.A. to try out then. So we went out there and we were, me and Chris and Walter went to try it out. And literally, you know, it's like 10 minutes. You get 10 minutes to impress them to actually move on to an actual interview, and not one of us got a call. And so we started heading back to Vegas, and literally like about an hour after we're on the road, and after that they said we're going to call you by 5 or not,
right,
not call you. So 6 o'clock they fucking call me. I'm on the road about an hour into my drive, and they're like, can you be here tomorrow? And I'm like, no, I can't. I'm back calling back.
Right. So I had to three people
back. Yeah, I kind of had to go back the next day after that. So, but that was kind of crazy. But yeah, so
they fell in love with the rest is history, yeah. Jeff. They didn't care for Sausage, though, that year.
Yeah, that year they did not pick him. But I remember Jason Clay Dunn from being out there because remember his beard. He walked in the room. He walked in the room and he was that character. And they were just like, holy shit, look at this guy. You know?
Did he get picked up right away?
I don't
know. Are you not sure?
Yeah, I don't know.
If they seen that, I bet he had to. He's got.
I mean, it's, you got to make it through. You still got to, you know, you still have to do your interviews and do your talking. And
right.
You know, you still have to have something to give.
For them. Well, he's so funny, so witty, and so quick. And then to also have that anxiety, I would have loved to see him go through that casting.
Right, right.
Like that would be a reality show itself.
It's a face. Like it's like when people have that anxiety and all that stuff, they have to, like those commercials, they got the face on.
The mask.
To show everybody else.
Yeah.
That's not really how they feel on the inside. You know what I mean? So.
Right. No, he was very comfortable in the house.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that he would find comfort as soon as, sort of comfort when he actually had a chance to interview.
Yeah.
You know, when they start asking him the questions, he's going to turn it on right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I'd love to talk to him.
I've always thought he was a good guy. Like I really liked him. He was, you know, I think our whole season was a group of misfits in a way because everybody was different. You know what I mean? There always are. They're always different, but I just felt like that it was kind of a cool mixture of people that from different backgrounds and different, you know, everything.
I feel like it was the coolest season. I don't care what anybody says about numbers of anything else. Season three, certainly for my experience from season four to season three, much better. Losing season three, much better than losing season four.
Yeah, well, for sure. For sure. I think you just had that added stress. Like, you know, you already knew what to expect, but then.
Well, I was out of my water and element too. You know, I, honestly, to put myself in a place, I was fourth or fifth at best. And even realizing that as you go into it, it's a stress. You know, I asked Halo to be on the show and I felt the whole time like he was the number one, even if he wasn't producing, you know, the judge's opinion.
Right.
Every single time. Like he's just an amazing artist. And so, you know, all that kind of played into it too, I guess. But either way, our season just, I don't know, people were cool on season four too.
Yeah.
And our season was cool. Like everybody kind of did, like the Kumbaya part, they were like, man, yours was cool. Right.
Yeah. I think, and that's, I think that was, I kept telling Walter and Sasha that when he went on, I was like, dude, my season was awesome. Cause I was, you know, I was hanging out with Jimmy and Craig and
Jason. And Sasha is getting persecuted by Marshall.
Oh, instantly. Like he talked, he was like, this sucks. I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? You're not having fun. And he's like, no, they're all ganging up on me, you know? And
so, he had a special bully.
Yeah. With little wiener. I mean, he had some good one-liners too. Scott did.
Yeah, he did.
I'm going to fry that little sausage.
Or he's going to beat him too. Wasn't he going to beat that little wiener?
Yeah.
Okay.
So real quick, when I listened to your thing with a sausage, the thing about Scott and, you know, how bravado he was and how all this was, he was, I went back and I filmed the one-off one with, it was me, Jason, Steve, and him. And we had done the portraits. And I'm just like, dude, you fucking sucked. Like that was not good. That was like that, you know, just like the Wolverine. Like it's not a portrait. It's not, you're doing a color rendition of something that's not even close. And he had done, I forgot who he did, but I was just like, I was like, dude, I'm a realist. Like I look at shit and I can admit if it's fucked up. And I'm like, Scott, like you and me and Steve are just like, what are you talking? Like, look at this shit. And he's all like,
right.
No, dude, my shit's the best and blah, blah, blah. And I was getting mad because I was like, how can you not see it? How can you not see it?
And right.
As soon as the cameras were off, he walks over and goes, Joey, just so you know, I'll never dog my own work on camera. He goes, I know it was fucked up. He goes, but I'm not going to see it. And at that point, I knew, okay, at least he sees it. Because I'm like, how can you not see it? You know what I mean? Right. But he literally was just like, dude, I'm never going to say it. I'll never fucking. And I said, okay, I got respect for that now. I knew where he was coming from. But in the moment, he goes, don't get heated over it, dude. He goes, you don't got to get, you know, we went to dinner, like whenever it was his season. You know, I love sausage, but it's like, it was kind of funny that me and, you know, Scott kind of clicked in a way, in a sense, because I was like, I had respect for the guy. The guy could tattoo his ass off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we went to eat dinner or something. And I'm just like, I thought I've considered him a good a buddy. You know what I mean? Just, you know how we all are from the show. Like we all went through it. So we have that.
Yeah. It's a shared experience.
Yeah. So I it's sad that he passed and it just kind of sucks. But yeah, I'll always remember that about him. Like that I was just, as soon as you guys were talking about that, I was like, holy, I was like, I wanted to say that to you. Cause I just thought that was so funny that he was just so adamant about, like, my stuff is tough and raw and bold and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then on the side, he goes, yeah, I know it was messed up. You know,
and just so you know, I will never, it's a great gamesmanship, because if you don't give them something to write a bad story about, or, you know, he also explained to me at one point later on that when they would come in, he would turn his machine down and he would work slower. You know, he'd clean up everything around real quick when he knew they were coming around, he'd tidy up a little bit, and then just act really calm, just like, no big deal.
Oh, right.
And while they were through there, I was like, that's another genius gameplay. Really, yeah. You know. Meanwhile, the rest frantic. Of us are all, stressing and shit, and like, it's rough on you. And he's like, no, even if it was going hard on, you know, he'd slow it down for that little bit, the three seconds they would come
just
through.
Kind of be like, yeah, just kind of sit back, sit up in his chair, and sit back and admire his work and stuff. Yeah.
I thought that James Danger went home far too early. I understood him going home for not doing a tattoo. But did you have any opinion on a canvas treating him like that? Should they have a backup? What do you think?
What was the other tattoo? I mean, I feel bad for him. And I think
he went home on the Phoenix, right? And then he refused to tattoo himself is one of the real things.
Right, right. And the girl was difficult. I mean, no, watching
it. Oh, she was terrible.
I think he said this final straw was, I guess the girl wore some clothes that was basically rented from a store and he took the tag off. And she was all pissed off or something, but you know, I don't know. It's hard to say. Yeah, he could have tattooed a lot better than he did later on. I don't know. Like, I just, I don't, he went home kind of early. Like, yeah, I'm trying to remember the order. You know what I mean? It's
awesome. Well, he went home on that day and it seems like it was only 3 or 4. I remember thinking that I was expecting
that early?
Him.
Yeah, yeah. If it was that early, like if he was like in the top 4, then yeah, of course. He should have been at least like 7 or 8.
Mystical was second. Who was it? McManus was the first one with the baboon, yeah. Right? Mystical went home. Then I don't know if it was James or somebody else. Did he go home before Maddie? Maddie might have went home
first. Maddie was right around there. Actually, Maddie's out here now.
Oh, working with you?
She's not in our shop yet, but I'm definitely considering it. Uh-huh. She's at Clean Shop right now, but she came into our store and was just like, do you got a spot? So I'm considering it. We just hired a kid, so that's the only reason I'm still considering, like, not taking her right on, is because we just hired somebody.
Right.
And I'm not trying to make it over. It needs to be enough traffic, and I think we're getting ready to be into the summer where it will be. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
right now you're kind of full boat.
Yeah. Yeah. So I need to reach back out to her. She just came in a couple of days ago. So
that's awesome. Tell her we said hi.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. She seems like she's doing well. She's got her kids out here and stuff. And so
how long has she been out there?
I think just about a month, like not too long.
Okay. Right on.
Not too long, but,
I'm giving my wife a lot to work with. I'm giving her too much to work with.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I might have stayed too
long. I'll tell
you
this. My only addition to what you should do with your show.
Oh, yes, please.
My two cents. At the end, have some music. Let the credits are rolling.
Yeah, okay. You got some music?
That's it.
I'll get some intro. I'm going to get Clutzy to put something on for me.
No. I don't care what you play at your show, bro. But I'm just saying, like, when I listened to Sausage's show, mm-hmm. I was kind of like at the end. It was just kind of like a hang up.
To play up.
Like a hang up. You know, like
it is rough.
You know,
because, you know, I ain't got no music. I'm going to have to pay somebody now. Like, no, here, no, listen to this, motherfuckers.
You're Kyle Dunbar. Just ask for it. Say, hey, who wants to produce an intro and an exit from our show?
I think that just happened. I think it just got asked for. Yeah. I think the universe is working so well for me at this point that I don't even need to do it.
Nice.
It asks it. So no. Yeah. So thank you for doing that for me. Right. But Joey, I should let you go. I know it's even later there. But yeah, I've stayed too long. And I think I've said too much. And I'm going to think about what kind of music I could play on the way out of here.
Oh, yeah. Put something on there, buddy. But yeah, I want to say thank you, Kyle, for having me on, and thank you, Candy.
Oh, we had to
setting this all up, and you know, am I your first winner you had on?
You know what? That was my fucking intro, man. I messed that up. You know what? I was going into my intro, and I was like, man, you had an intro already planned. There's one thing I planned. I was just saying, how does it feel to be the first winner I've had on my show?
Right. Well, I was wondering that question myself, Kyle. Was that?
Well, yes, you are. Yeah. First winner, awesome. Winner, chicken dinner.
Nice.
Not the first finalist, but what the fuck does that matter to a winner? You're fine with that.
Yeah, the paycheck.
Take care, Joey. Look forward to coming out and seeing you. I do.
Okay.
So definitely. Hopefully we can put that soon. Together.
Okay. Take care.
Talk to you later.
All right.
And then I'm going to stay on and talk instead of having music. What am I going to say, though? You don't know. That's why I'm just going to talk shit about Joey, of course. Joey was just here a minute ago. He was just on. Did you hear all that bullshit he was talking? Oh, my God. Obviously, we already know. No, that was awesome for me. Joey's the first winner I've had a chance to have on, and I really enjoyed talking with him. Obviously, I could honestly keep talking to him, and I realized at one point that you're probably more bored than me, so we're going to end this now, but look forward to get back into it on another day, and I will tell you about Revolt Tattoos in future, my first experience tattooing at his shop in Vegas, and really why I do like Vegas for tattooing, and why you should probably go out to Vegas and get a tattoo from me out there, really. We should set that up. So get a hold of me. Everybody wants to go to Vegas. And so do I. So plan it out for me. And we're going to put that together.
Looking for your next go-to smoke shop? Stop scrolling, I've got you. Headshop.com is the number one online smoke shop, already trusted by over 100,000 happy smokers, just like you. They've got it all. Dab rigs, vaporizers, glass bongs, smoking pipes, even THCA flower, all in one place. Need a new daily driver? Grab a smooth glass bong or a classic smoking pipe. More of a concentrate fan? Their dab rigs, e-rigs, and wax accessories are designed for smoother, harder-hitting sessions. And yes, they've even got legal THC flower. Best part? Every order ships fast and discreet, which is why thousands of smokers keep coming back. So don't waste time hopping between shops. Shop the best in dab rigs, vaporizers, glass bongs, smoking pipes, and THCA flower right now at headshop.com, the number one online smoke shop. Headshop.com has what you need. Check it out today. Oh, and because you're listening right now, you get 10% off your next order when you use the coupon code HSHOP at checkout. Go to headshop.com now and smoke smarter.